All right. Red button has been pressed.
Probably I'll start recording sometime now, huh?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Come on, everyone. Everyone's doing it.
Don't go to the peer pressure.
Hi, everybody. I'm Vangelis, and you're listening to WTF at TFW, your podcast for your Transformers from TFW2005.com's Transformers Fanning of the Transformer Robots podcasting, talking on microphones. With me today is Aaron.
I could not follow that.
Absolutely not. I'm sorry.
I'm still confused.
Also here with us today is Omegas Prime.
I could follow that. I'm concerned for myself now.
Book yourself in. And also joining us and battling his hardware is our very own Lupus Convoy.
Is it sad that I understood everything about that and I kind of thought of old internet radio?
I think that it's more admirable than anything else.
I don't know. I was getting horrible flashbacks about real media.
Hey, man, it's proprietary because they care, all right? .rm. Believe it. We're here to talk to you today about Transformers, although I can tell you that real media once upon a time played into the Transformers fandom as rips of some kind of content, I believe, was posted as .rm files way back in the early 2000s, and a bunch of us had to slog through that to watch something. I forgot what it was, but... We're actually going to talk to you about, guess what is in 2 weeks, BotCon 2011. Ooh. We've got a bunch of little announcements here. First of which being that we have two more guest announcements. First up, guest that I think a lot of folks by now who have gone to a bunch of BotCons will have met at some point is Michael McConaughey, who has some real powerful pipes and some great stories about working on the dub of Robots in Disguise. We've also got Arlene Banas coming, who played Carly, as well as some of the bit female roles, such as Allegra from that one episode on that planet where everyone totally was shrieking at each other in musical stylings. So how do you guys feel about this? I do not recall your guys. I know, Aaron, you've been there for a McConaughey con.
Mm-hmm.
That came out strange.
Yeah.
Lupus... Omegas, have either of you met Mr. Michael McConaughey?
Unfortunately, no. Since my BotCon experiences are highly limited compared to everybody else here.
That is true. I forgot if he was at the one you were at. I'm jumbling up the last 2 years,
nope.
Like, completely.
It was last year, man.
Yeah, you know, the one with, what was it? Where they announced Robots in Disguise. I love Gigatron.
It had the thing with the stuff.
Yeah. Lupus, were you at a McConaughey con? I can't remember.
I was not at a McConaughey con.
Oh.
But, yeah, he's going to be a high point for me.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guest. I always remember the time that I went to an autograph signing at 05, and he was trying to get people to go to the table of the kid who was in the Transformers commercials at the time. Because nobody was going to that kid's table, and he's like, I think someone should go over there and ask for his autograph, because he's looking pretty down. I was like, you're a con bro. What about Arlene Banas? I did not realize, I never really thought to look up to see if Carly's voice actor had done any other roles. I assumed that she was just part of the ensemble nature of most of those 80s cartoons, and... I was surprised when I read this and saw that she only really played Carly as far as a major role went. Aaron, are you going to dress up as Spike and take some photos with her?
No, probably not. Unfortunately, that's kind of a yay. Good for her. I feel horrible saying it that way, but... It was a human and two other voices. I mean, it's cool that there's going to be like, what, seven, eight?
I want to say eight. 8 didn't count. 9 guests.
Voice actors there. 9 guests?
Yeah.
So a good, decent list. And it'll be neat to see a whole ensemble and try and figure out what they do for a script reading with everyone if they decide to do something like that. But I don't know. After a while, you've seen one or two voice actor panels. You've got the gist up and down.
I'm going to tell her you said that.
Go for it. I'm the guy that's only there. I'm the guy that's only there to see one other person anyway. So.
Ooh, yeah. Sick burn. Lupus, how do you feel about this?
You know, I don't mean to be mean, but I'm a little bit more excited about Charles Z. Britannia showing up than Carly.
Oh dear.
But, and not to be mean, but I mean, it's Carly. Okay, yes, she looks like the character. I'll grant her that. But I think it would be more of a perk for me if we have the old Carly and the new Carly both show up.
Oh, you mean,
you know, surprise, like, oh, look, both of them are here.
Rosie.
Yeah, whatever her name is.
Rosie. Yeah.
Rosie, not Megan Fox.
The other right. one. Right. Now, that could be cool. Who knows? Maybe that's what they're going to aim for, because I saw they have a mysterious listing of, like, and more special guests that we aren't going to name. Who knows? Maybe that'll happen at the Hall of Fame dinner. They'll go up and both receive the award for Carly.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it sounded pretty exciting. Omegas, how do you feel about this?
I hate to have a consensus with the panel here, but yeah, this is kind of an extra more than anything. It is nice that on the rebirth of the character with the movie coming out, you know, it's a nice, you know, little gesture to have the original actress for the, but yeah, not high on my list of guess that I would be hoping for.
All right, I'm going to break the trend.
Like, I wouldn't think to ask her.
I think it's great that they are bringing her in because she has never been to a BotCon before, and she's going to have stories of working with that cast atmosphere.
The sad part is she's going to be inundated with the usual convention question about it, what it was like to work with Chris Latta.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Scatman Crothers.
Absolutely, that yep. too. But, I'm thinking more.
The new guy trial by fire.
Honestly, though, I would love to see her just like break out in tears to like psych everyone out, like totally play the crowd. Be like, "How could you ask that?"
I mostly want to see if she has any Wally Burr stories myself.
I want that on record. Lupus hopes she breaks out in tears.
Yeah,
I'm an evil, heartless,
cruel,
man.
Horrible person.
I'm gonna tell on you. I'm gonna tell on all you guys. Saying.
So I won't be there.
We're not going to be the ones to ask for the bumpers, right?
No, you all are. You're all going to have to go. You're going to shuffle up there, heads hung low, going like, "Hey, wondering if you could record a bumper for us, please." Another BotCon guest that unfortunately won't be there at BotCon will be the dog that's in the background right now.
Yeah. Sorry, trying to take care of that.
I love that dog's role.
We also got some other news about the Hall of Fame. We know who two inductees are going to be as far as actual people, and we know that one of them will even be there to receive the induction. So Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay will be inducted for their work on the live-action movie series. I don't even have to go read the threads to know that people are probably screaming at each other about this right now. And I think
right.
It's marvelous.
They are.
Oh, they are? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked either, but my spidey sense is tingling.
You got that notion that maybe some people are arguing about this?
Yeah.
Because I saw the announcement. I was like, oh, wow, people are going to fight about that. At the same time, though, it's, you know, look at it objectively. It kind of makes sense. Those two spearheaded a project that made a whole pile of money for the last 4 years to make a budget for a whole lot of very cool toys that came out over the last 4 years. So I totally see why they would do it, especially if this is kind of the end of that movie thing for now. You know, give them their golden watch of a Hall of Fame recognition.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's also
to get, say, hey, you know, you can be in this Hall of Fame thing and come and sign autographs for a day.
Yeah. Well, Michael Bay is going to be there. And I got to say again, I know people are going to go like, oh, man, that's so horrible. But you know what? Props to him for actually showing up. This is, at the end of the day, the same fandom that apparently at some point sent him death threats over his movies. And he's still going to show up because the dude is the best in real life troll you'll ever meet. I always remember BotCon 2009. He just saunters into the room with his security.
Yeah.
He's like, what's up, guys? We're making a little movie down the street. I'm like, oh, man, you're magnificent. I'm looking forward to it very much. I'm also kind of looking forward to see if anyone at the... I don't know, you know, if the folks who would want to yell at him are even going to pay money to go to the dinner, but I'm curious if there are going to be people just, like, giving him, like, the staring daggers at him from across the room treatment or something like that.
I wonder how badly people want to troll him.
Somebody will. Somebody's going to get profane, I bet.
I don't know.
Although part of that also makes me think they're going to get profane, but it's going to be at their table like, oh, that guy, he's really mean.
Yeah.
He's smelly. Shh, don't say it too loud. There's fanboys around.
That's the thing, is I think it's also going to hit that bit of like, oh, man, if I could ever see Michael Bay, I would give him a piece of my mind. And then you totally aren't when you actually see him, because a lot of folks aren't going to do that in real
yeah,
life.
Yeah, as Bay is right behind him. He's right behind me, isn't he?
No, the main reason why I think no one's going to get that close is because, remember, he had security at BotCon, and that was in a theater. This is going to be at a big, like, roundtable dinner event. He's going to be sitting at a very special table, probably with a personal bubble drawn around him. I do not think it is going to be possible for any kind of incident to occur.
Be surrounded by BotCon staff and Hasbro peeps. And
yeah, which is a shame, because I said this on Twitter. I would love to get a bumper from him for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, I just want to get, hi, this is Michael Bay. I'm in the Transformers Hall of Fame, and you're listening to WTF at TFW. Because, you know, some people like this fellow I know from Wales, Scotland, was like, you know, oh, you should get him to say something like, hey, I'm Michael Bay and I raped your childhood. But I'm like, no, it's all about minimalism. I want to see if people can get enraged just at the simple stated 100% true fact of, hi, I'm Michael Bay and I'm in the Hall of Fame. Just leave it at that. I wish I could have a video of it, which is him grinning at the camera. Like, that would be the best Michael Bay send-off clip I could acquire for myself. I don't know. Maybe I'll try emailing his agent and see if they actually talk to me or not. Because that would get me so pumped. I didn't mean to ramble about this for so long, but like, Aaron, how do you, as a fellow who I'm sure is all ready to get in a fist fight with Michael Bay, how are you feeling about his arrival?
I'm not getting in a fist fight, man. Last time I saw him, he gave me a high five.
Yeah. Well, did you get a high five, or were you the guy that tried to squeeze past him to go to the washroom and got like shoved into the wall by security?
I got a high five.
Okay. Because there was a story of a guy.
I didn't hang around him.
No, there was a story of a guy, because some people said, oh, man, someone totally ran at him and security hip checked them. And I read that that guy actually posted somewhere. He's like, no, I was trying to go to the washroom and I didn't know Michael Bay was there. And apparently I picked a very bad moment to try to go to the washroom because the security guys thought I was making a beeline for him, which I thought was funny. Are you going to try to get another high five from him this year?
Maybe. I won't say no if it happens.
Omegas, are you? If you were there, what would you do?
Throw rocks.
That's poor form.
Not if you get a good snap on the rock, you know, just make it give a spiral to it.
It would have to be some pretty smooth rocks, or I would have to say that's pretty small time if you're just picking up rocks from outside.
I'm going to take a wild guess here and say that it's going to be Bay that will actually appear. I really don't think Steven Spielberg has the time of day to buy eight. Yeah.
I don't know, for a free dinner.
I mean, Michael Bay has appeared at a BotCon before, and he seems more interested in. And I gotta say, he seems more interested in kind of putting himself in the line of fire of showing up at an event where actual people are there who might hate him. Spielberg has always seemed a little bit more hands off about this whole thing, despite being like one of the initial pushes.
That's the one thing that kind of annoys me. That's the only real thing. Like, I can understand Michael Bay. Okay, he's brought Transformers to a brand new generation, brand new audience. You know, the fandom has never been bigger or more prominent. Okay. I don't know how much involvement Spielberg actually has, or if he's just writing the check or just signing off on things.
I mean, apparently he was at least, I'm not sure if he was literally on set, but he had some on-set influence, I believe, in the first one. But I do agree, actually, that he definitely does not seem to be quite as overtly involved. I'm curious now. I admit I still haven't gone to read through the threads because, you know, they're kind of long. But I'm curious if people are arguing about Michael Bay or if people are arguing about Spielberg coming down. Because, you know, it is a good point. Spielberg is a lot less of a related name. Like, he's a name where when someone says it, you're like, oh, right, yeah, he's related too. But most people instantly say Michael Bay rather than Steven Spielberg, so...
Spielberg is that name it's really nice to have because it is such a more respected and credible name as far as movies go.
Yeah.
But, you know, the only one you know that does anything is Michael Bay. Of course, everything is Michael Bay Presents, a Michael Bay production, Transformers by Michael Bay.
Yeah. And a lot of people what's the word I'm looking for? They miscredit Michael Bay as being solely responsible for the robot designs, which is why it has nothing to do with liking or disliking the robots, but I really hate the term Bayformer because they aren't his.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah, no, and it's not Michael Bay sitting there with a doodle pad and a little piece of paper and crayons going, okay, I'm going to give this one teeth.
Aaron, we cut you off like 15 times.
Yeah, I was going to roll back to another thing about Spielberg maybe that it's always the thing with executive producers is it seems like they walk in and go, hey, sup, how's it going? Hey, Jim, right? Hey, Jim, how's it going? All right, where's my check? Okay, I'm good. See you next week.
That said, I mean, if this has all been, you know, either disproven or clarified in behind the scenes material that I am not recalling right now, you know, then, you know, let us know. But
yeah,
and hopefully, you know, they're going to do videos for these guys when they accept their awards. So ideally, when Steven Spielberg goes up, there will be a montage explaining what it is that he did and people saying how nice it was to work with him. And that could offer a little bit more insight onto his involvement.
But, I mean, you see Spielberg's name attached to so many things. He's got to have another one of him in his pocket somewhere to cover some of the things that he's getting into. I guess it's kind of where my brain was rolling.
The things he's getting into. Do you mean like illicit hobbies? Like he's buying Fabergé eggs and throwing them at the wall of an alleyway?
No, he's snorting them. Actually, is what he's doing. He's getting them ground.
That is pretty big time. I'd have to bow down to that. That's up there with Kazuo Hirai's office, is grinding up Fabergé eggs and snorting them through your nose.
As opposed to snorting them through your elbow.
Yeah, because that would just be small time. That's what little people do.
Yeah.
We're apparently going to have Michael Bay at the dinner, and I'm guessing because they've more or less said they're going to show a clip of Dark of the Moon, and I recall he really liked to be there when they showed those clips of Revenge of the Fallen. And I will always say those clips of Revenge of the Fallen out of context were so much more awesome than when they were actually in the film.
Well, I also see that we may get more than just a clip if they've already shown off other places, like the first 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. They're making a deal out of the fact that if you're going, there are snacks in your goodie bag.
That's true.
I don't think they're going to give you snacks for like a 3-minute clip of this.
I did get a Twitter message of someone who said, oh, thank God I'm not going because I hate being in a movie theater when I can hear people eating. And I would say yes. If you do not like to see film in an environment with other people who have food, this will probably be the worst time because everyone will have food. In fact, everyone will probably have a plate of food and the food in their bag. So get ready for lots of chewing noises. I'm pumped for it myself. I love mastication. What do you guys think about mastication?
It takes coordination.
It does.
I think without it, we wouldn't be here today.
That's true. We'd all be dead without mastication.
Or we'd be living off of soups.
Yes. Well, only some soups.
Yeah, it had to be really brothy soups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you couldn't masticate and you had a soup with a huge chunks of veggies in it? Not just any veggies. No, not just any veggies. Broccoli. You can't gum broccoli.
Oh, if you cook it long enough, you can gum anything.
I suppose, but then that turns the broccoli into part of the broth. I mean, just, you know, solid piece. Because broccoli, potato, you can gum potato. Carrot, you can gum carrot. Broccoli has all those little fine diddly bits that just sort of bounce when you try to gum it.
Well, I guess it kind of depends on how often you go to, like, school cafeterias.
I suppose. I am big on broiling my own broccoli.
Shopping broccoli.
Lupus, did you have any more thoughts on Bay and Spielberg? Anything on Spielberg particularly?
I really wish Spielberg would have been there. Mm-hmm. But I understand he's a big guy and much bigger than, you know, Transformers. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, Spielberg is kind of famous, I hear.
Yeah, I know. Some little movie called E.T., I guess. Jurassic Park.
Is that an action film?
I don't know. I heard there was guns at one point, but they edited it out.
Oh, the lasers, I bet.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, Rito shooting first.
Oh, I love that.
But everyone knows my feeling about Mr. Bay, and I cannot deny the effect of his movies on the fandom, better or worse.
I mean, as someone who doesn't
keep my mouth shut.
But as someone who doesn't really like Michael Bay that much, do you feel that it is warranted to include him in the Hall of Fame for his contributions?
I can't deny that he needs some credit for what he's done. Because I'll admit, without the bankroll of these movies, I would not be able to get these fun, wonderful classic figures and Henke figures I'll never get my hands on. But
That's I think what the important thing is that it's, you know, when you look at it objectively, it is hard to say he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but it also sets a precedent whereby I certainly hope people will campaign for other very either prolific or involved creators like Derek Wyatt and
some
of the
animated
dudes.
I'm a little surprised that Derek isn't in, considering, you know,
he's convention staff right now. That would be
yeah.
He's on convention staff this year. That would
would be a little bit duplicitous.
Yeah,
slight.
Like, and convention staff member Derek J. White is in the Hall of Fame. I'm just making excuses.
Yeah, we got Pete. Come on, Pete. You too. I guess you've been doing it for a while.
I will campaign for Pete Sinclair in the Transformers Hall of Fame.
I really think that Derek should be in.
He should. Derek, in particular, just because of how close he stayed with the fandom, even after his work on an official level was more or less done, I think really deserves some recognition in the Hall of Fame.
Plus, anyone that can do an animated Vangelis and animated Goober, come on.
And Eisenberg as well, I think.
Oh, definitely.
For writing on not just animated, but Beast Machines as well. He's another longtime contributor to the actual media. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure someone will chime in and say Furman. I would agree with Furman being in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. If we're going to talk about the stuff that makes the most money and people who made tons of money for it and were fan-centric, I think that definitely folks like the animated team, for one, would really be worth putting in there. Down the road, if Prime continues going as well as it has been going, I think they would deserve some recognition as well. But I hope that this is going to be not just a way to, you know, give some props to those movie guys, but I do hope it will set a precedent whereby it doesn't just have to be certain jobs that get into the Hall of Fame. It can be anyone who's worked on the franchise. So I'm kind of for it at the end of the day. Although I admit I'm also kind of for it because of all the fights it will probably cause of people yelling at each other and you know, people going
you
like,
you just want to be your standard self and be an instigator.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's good at.
I admit.
Hey, I heard that guy over there likes Michael Bay movies, and not just the Transformers ones. Oh,
I'm gonna float around the Hall of Fame dinner, just like speaking in people's ears, like, "Hey, your buddy across the seat, across the table, he loves Armageddon. He was telling me all about how he loves Armageddon.
He loves the island."
I know someone who was an extra on the island who totally talked some hardcore smack about both Michael Bay and Scarlett Johansson, but I'm not going to say anything else. True story. There's another BotCon thing I wanted to throw in here too. At the special request of one @AKSMTH on Twitter, BotCon
jerk.
Yeah. It's not even, you can't even say that, whatever that thing that his username is. He wanted us to talk about the schedule that just went up for the convention. We've got a schedule that I don't actually have open on this computer, but I have open on this computer. So it's kind of confirming, you know, the regular routine will be there. If you're doing a Wednesday customizing class, you can pick up your stuff on Wednesday as per usual. So Wednesday, Thursday are, you know, as you will. Friday has an interesting thing in the form of the Stunticon job script reading. So there's going to be a script reading related to the convention set happening in the afternoon on Friday, which is new. Usually these script readings are reserved for the dinner evening events. So this is going to be making Friday a bit tight for me because that is priority to me to see that script reading. So I'm going to be
well, the other rough thing is that runs just before the dealer room opens.
And just before the autograph lines. At 1 o'clock, you've got the Stunticon job script reading, which runs till 1:50. Basically, from 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock, that's the script reading, and that's the only thing that's happening. At 2 o'clock, the dealer room opens until 5, and David Kay and Jack Angel start doing autographs for an hour and a half. After they're done, Morgan Lofting, Neil Ross, and Greg Berger are doing autographs until the dealer room closes. So you have 5 out of 9 autographs you can cover if you skip the dealer room and run to those lineups right after the script reading. Just so you know.
Interesting.
And that evening will be the casino night dinner. This is kind of cool. They're doing the casino night on Friday night, and then Saturday night they're doing the Hall of Fame events. So you're getting double evening events, which I think is, again, isn't that new? Usually it's been one or the other.
Yeah, because normally they've done it Saturday nights is when they do things.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I think is potentially nice, I'm just going to keep going.
Oh, gosh.
Is Friday night, one of the things that they could do then, because I know they've done it in past with the con bucks or whatever, where you get money to spend at the convention that the dealers then turn back in to get paid. So it's all cash, basically, without being real. That actually gives you time to spend that because people have gotten awards Saturday or even midday Sunday in the past for their artwork end up, okay, well, I've got $50 in con bucks, but all the, all the good stuff,
it's all gone.
In the dealer room's all gone. Or, you know, I went through and got the stuff I wanted. Well, if that's part of the awards that you can get at the casino night is, hey, here's $100 in convention bucks, you know, start the bidding at 3,000 fake dollars. And then that way you can have a day or two to wander around the dealer room and figure out what you want.
Absolutely. Usually that stuff, well, I was also going to say that usually it's been either the dinner casino night or the Hall of Fame event. Cause last year, I don't believe last year there was just the Hall of Fame. Wasn't there?
There was just the Hall of Fame.
So they're doubling those up now, which I think is excellent because it does feel like I'm getting more out of the show. It means there's going to be stuff to do in the evenings. I mean, granted, a lot of folks kind of like having the Friday night open because it means you can just go and hang out and do whatever. But BotCon fills up your day so much, I don't mind it filling out the evenings a bit more.
Yeah, well, especially because, you know, casino night, I can see all that stuff maybe going until 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still going to be, if you want to hang out with people after that, there's still going to be time. You know, you just forget about that whole sleep thing.
That's what I usually do.
Is that normal con? Like business, you just kind of forget sleep for a couple days?
Pretty much.
Yeah. You just go light on it and recoop the Monday after. That's why I'm taking that Monday off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ask anyone who's been to the San Diego Comic Con.
I'll
tell you right now, going to a normal anime con, sleep doesn't exist that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I hear about RavenCon and DragonCon, it's pretty much the same.
And those are all lightly booked cons. BotCon is still, in the grander scheme of things, a somewhat lightly booked con because we generally still have a panel room that is running back-to-back panels. A lot of conventions have panels that basically run at the same time and you have to choose. So I still think
we're double and triple.
That's going to be probably the highlight of Saturday for me. 11 o'clock, new Hasbro toy panel. And then right afterwards, apparently the Transformers Prime cast will come in and do a script reading. Right after that is autographs with surprise guests. Transformers Prime cast, script reading, surprise guests. What do you guys think? Are we going to be Jeffrey Combsing it?
I would laugh if The Rock showed up.
I would blow up.
You would die.
Follow BotCon Twitter. That's all that they're talking about, trying to get
God
The Rock
damn it.
In.
Yeah.
I am going straight to that surprise guest signing, whatever. I'm planning on running there, whatever happens. But
it's going to be the kids.
Oh, man. If it's the kids, I will totally go like, oh, man, Raph, tell me all about yourself. But yeah.
And then he's going to reply, be-do-do-be-do-do.
If they get any of the Prime cast, it's going to be great, because that is a fantastic cast. But, I mean, there are so many potentials for those surprise guests. Granted, it might just be Peter Cullen and Frank Welker, and I'm saying just as a bit of a joke there. But
yeah, if it's Welker, that's more than just a just.
If it's Welker, it's guess who finally came to BotCon after never coming to BotCon, even though he almost came once in the 90s.
There's a recording of him apologizing for not coming.
Yeah. Whoever those guests are, I'm going to be pumped for it, but I am going to plan around a whole lot of things. I want to have something in my head for, okay, so it might be Jeff Combs, might be The Rock, might be Cullen Welker, who knows, might even be Clancy Brown.
You're going to have a backpack full of DVDs and toys.
Whoever comes, they're every
in
single
case of emergency.
Every single major cast member of that show, barring a few, there are so, like, what if Adam Baldwin comes? What's going to happen?
Oh, dear God.
What's going to, yeah, exactly. Exactly. There is one for everybody. Omegas, what if Clancy Brown comes? Exactly.
There's a new Raiden toy ad. I'd get him to sign that to be goofy.
What if, I mean, not just Adam Baldwin, oh man, her name always falls right out of my head. You know, she played Arachnid.
Yeah. Gina Torres.
Gina Torres.
Her.
Lupus. Adam Baldwin, Gina Torres. What if they show up?
I would do some things that fangirls wouldn't even do, and it involves duct tape and kidnapping.
And then while they're at their autograph table, Nathan Fillion just rises up from under the table and sits between them.
Yeah.
And Joss Whedon just kind of walks in the room. He's like, yeah, anyway.
So I was working on the Avengers, and I just happened to stop by.
Yeah, we're taking over this side of the convention. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so I should bring Firefly as well as my G1 box set?
Yeah, I just started thinking, yeah, I probably ought to do that too.
I'm going to be bringing Firefly, Reanimator, Justice League. This is all just on hypotheticals for people who might not even show up. If not,
it's always, you know, party time at the... at the hotel room watching,
if
you
know, BotCon
King stuff.
Yeah, if BotCon doesn't clarify who any of these people are, I am just going to come armed to the teeth, and then worst case, oh, I brought some DVDs I didn't need to bring because DVDs are so heavy.
Yeah, something to kill time in the airplane.
Yeah, I'm like, Transformers Prime Cast is pretty studded with people that I think are awesome, so this has me kind of jittery. I'm not usually an autograph person. I do autographs less to get the autographs, more just because it's kind of like a Pokemon chase them all down thing to do at the convention. But you know,
the darn thing is getting them in the Pokeball.
Exactly. I mean, there are actors.
Well, this is why Lupus brings the duct tape.
Yeah, exactly. Scrunch them up real tight. There are actors who I do really love to get an autograph from, in part just to have some words with them. Like, I always love getting to say hello to David Kaye and stuff like that. But, you know, autographs, I am not as hounding for the autograph itself so much as the experience. But Transformers Prime brings some experience stuff that is making me get really, really excited. So my apologies if on Saturday you see me and try to say hello and I just run past you muttering incomprehensibly. Depending on who shows up, I might have froth.
Evangelist, that's a normal Saturday for you, though, isn't it?
It is, but I might be drooling as well. So,
you know. Again, that's kind of usual.
I stopped doing that this year.
the meds year. Finally worked for you?
Yeah. What meds? I use meditation.
There we go.
You cut one of them up, and then you turn on a tape of the sound of what happened while you were doing it, and you sit cross-legged in the middle of the room, and you go. You just smell all that iron from the blood on the walls. It's fantastic. Meditation.
Awkward.
So, what else is going on here? Now we can also see how they're splitting up some of the voice actor panels. I think this is actually really clever. At 4 o'clock on Saturday, they're doing a 25th anniversary Transformers the Movie voice actor panel with Flint Dilley, Neil Ross, Greg Berger, and Jack Angel. So they're basically going like, all right, people who were in the 86 movie... we're going to do a panel with you based on the 25th anniversary of it so that we only have four of you in the panel rather than trying to line up all the G1 people at the same time, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah, it lets the individuals have more time to shine. If you're throwing seven or eight people up on stage, it just becomes a...
oh, actually...
you know, you lose one person. Oh, wait a second, that's what they're doing for the later one.
I just read on Sunday.
Here we go
G1
again.
Voice actor panel with... Michael McConaughey, Arlene Benass, Neil Ross, Jack Angel, Greg Berger, Morgan Lofting. So a 6-person voice actor panel is still going to happen on Sunday. I take all that back. well, this answers the question of how they were going to work Flint and Dilly into it. So yeah, it is still clever how they did that. But that panel is going to be pretty nuts. A noon till one panel with 6 voice actors. I think that the con veterans might end up inadvertently taking over the panel myself.
Yeah, I can see like Arlene, who is new to conventions at least.
Always picking on Arlene Benass, you jerk.
I'm just saying she's not.
You couldn't say Morgan Lofting. You couldn't say Jack Angel, who are all new. You're like,
was
hey,
the first one in the list as I was reading.
Hey,
across.
Arlene
Thank
Benass.
You.
Hey, small time noob. Try to say something. I mean, granted, that's not what you said, but I'm paraphrasing a little bit.
Yeah, you're taking liberties.
Yeah.
So then the thing that I notice is there's not really the explicit Hasbro panel. There's the brand planning and story building. That doesn't sound like our normal, hey, look, here's the really cool stuff that's coming out in
I think that's,
4 to 6 months.
That's the 11 a.m. panel.
That sounds like the official panel where they give the next 2 of the 13. And yeah, then about 8 years down the line, we'll have the storyline.
Oh, yeah, you were there for that one. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is probably...
I got to hear that.
And I wonder if Andy Schmidt will be there for that one, seeing how he was just brought into Hasbro for some reason. But I think that the new toys one is just going to be that Saturday one, it sounds like. And it doesn't seem like they're doing that separate one with just the designers talking on a more conceptual level.
Yeah. Well, that and then also the fact that we will have seen a lot of the new stuff because it's all movie.
That's true.
I can see that there's like, look, you're getting movie stuff for the next so many months. You know, I'm sorry.
Lupus, you're pumped about that, right?
We can show you some stuff, but...
what else is going on here? Lupus, is there any panel in here that stuck out to you that we haven't brought up yet? I actually
not really. I mean, I think we pretty much covered everything. What really kind of bothers me is that I said on the podcast what I had planned on doing for Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like total trollage on my case.
Yeah. Well, I was saying a lot of folks are so used to Friday being completely open in the evenings that I like that they're filling up the evenings more, but I can see this colliding with people's routines at the convention.
Yeah, like now I've got to figure out what to do about canceling going to San Diego just so I can go to this Stentacon job script reading and getting, you know, seeing David Kay again.
Yeah, David Kay is awesome. I keep saying that, but if you're going to your first BotCon, do make a point of saying hello to David Kay.
Because he'll say hi back.
Exactly. Another interesting thing, the Collectors Club Roundtable is happening on Saturday before another panel. I'm used to that panel happening as the final thing on Sunday, but didn't they change that last year? I can't remember now.
I think last year it was earlier in the day, but still on Sunday,
Yeah, now it's still on Sunday.
Now it's just before the big voice actor panel.
I wonder if this is an effort to get more people to go to it. Because I recall that tends to be one of the least attended panels.
Yeah.
Because usually when it was at the end of Sunday, that's when everyone's in the dealer room trying to swing deals. Which means I do feel kind of bad for Transformers Costuming Design Your Own Costume by Rosemary Ward, because that is in the worst part of the schedule. That's when everybody is trying to swing deals in the dealer room or are unconscious in their hotel rooms.
Yeah.
I don't actually know anything about that panel, but I am hoping that it can be, if that panel's delivered in a really entertaining and gripping way, like it's just fun. I think actually that could go over really well as a cool down for people. It could actually be a pretty cool panel, but it is in the least desirable slot.
Yeah.
Omegas, any other things in the schedule that stuck out to you?
I haven't even looked at the schedule because I have no use for it this year.
Are you sure? Because you can pretend you're there. So you can be like, hey, I wish I was there for the Chris Ryle, Mike Costa Chaos Begins panel.
I'm just going to live vicariously through you guys while I sit and cry in a corner.
Aaron, was there anything else in here that stuck out to you? I've been skimming it.
Yeah, looking at it, it looks mostly like your standard schedule, other than, like I said, the odd bit that it doesn't look like there's a Hasbro future look Sunday.
I still think that's just being conglomerated into the Saturday.
Yeah. Home. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're calling brand planning. Hey, this is the brand that's going to be after the movie toys. Here, maybe. Look at the toys. But
that's a good, they've, that's
got,
a good
they've
point.
They've got it corporate speakified up. So
yeah.
Brand planning, story building. We're going to synergize.
Well, I will admit,
the properties into a coherent single.
Last year, I remember being confused between which two of the panels, because they had another one,
yeah,
like a marketing panel. That I thought, oh wait, was that wait which one? Wait, what? And there was like stuff revealed at both.
Yeah, always go to every Hasbro panel is what we learned. I remember 2009. Was it 2009 when they revealed Samurai Prowl?
Because
they revealed Samurai Prowl at a panel that nobody went to. Was that 2008? Yeah.
I think it was 2008.
I remember there was...
seen that.
Yeah, there was a huge arms race of, like, who actually went to that panel? Because there were, like, three people kind of going, oh, yeah, there was a Samurai Prowl with a sidecar that turns into armor. People were like, what? And then it was like, well, who went? I didn't go. And there's, like, just one guy, like, who are you? And like, oh, hi, I'm Frank. I'm like, Frank, tell us about it. He's like, yeah, it was kind of cool. And he just walks off. I'm like, how did no one that we know go to that one panel? So that was the lesson learned. Go to every Hasbro panel. That's in part why I went to, I mean, this was also for historical stuff and because I found the dude really entertaining, but that's also part of why I even went to the Aaron Archer and what was his name? You know, the elderly Japanese fellow who was really cool.
Yoko?
Yes.
No.
Yoke-san.
Yoke-san.
Yeah, that panel I in part went to because it was a Hasbro panel and you never know, but it also was because Yoke-san was pretty cool. Anyway, yeah, we should probably leave this thing for now because we're just reading off the schedule. But pretty exciting times. Looking forward to it. A couple weeks away. Omegas, you should record some daily vlogs about your experiences at the convention from home. Day one.
His
eyes are just blurring red, and he's just cutting himself.
Day one.
I didn't want to be part of it.
I spent the last three hours refreshing TFW.
My F5
the Sunday vlog. All you see are two legs swinging back and forth.
Oh no.
After you're like, yeah, so I heard about that really cool new thing from Transformers Prime toy line they showed us. Anyway, goodbye.
Then the logical bit in my mind goes to, how did he upload that?
Get the cat do it.
It's a very good point.
Very smart cat.
No, it was a timed release. You can do that on YouTube now. That's in very poor taste, by the way. I'm sorry about that. Let's move on to some new pick picks, because that will not involve suicide allegory. Omegas, because we were talking all about the convention in your face, you can go first.
I can go first. Yay. There's not a whole lot here. Japan's getting another exclusive that kind of annoys me.
Which one?
We saw Dark of the Moon Vortex.
God, yes! I want... That has a new head, doesn't it?
New like it head. Comes with a mech tech. Oh, man. It's a nice G1 homage, but... God, those colors work on that mold.
It's so good. I mean, that Air Raid one kind of works, and I don't mind that mold, but I was like, you know, I'm okay. I can live without it. I see that Vortex one, I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, what happened? I mean, suddenly Takara is getting a ton of toys with apparently no, like no U.S. announcement.
Yeah, it's like they're filling out their waves with, because I mean, that's another new head. We're getting, Target exclusive was it? Space Case is getting another one of those new heads from the Simultool.
Yeah, we're getting Space Case, yeah.
I bet you we'll get that head at least somehow, but, if Vortex is out before BotCon, like if he's coming out in the next 2 weeks, if he's not already out now, I bet you he is going to be a premium toy at BotCon.
Crazy premium.
I really want him. I am ready to spend $30 on him because deluxes are $25 in Japan. I'm going to try my best. I really, cause I like that toy too. I like Tomahawk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great mold, and man, they only made it better on this one. I love that they actually went and re-engineered it so it can hold the mech tech weapon in vehicle mode.
Yes, they did that on RC and on Air Raid as well.
Mm-hmm. The weird thing is, like, since I first saw this mold, just the way it was shaped and designed, I kept going, you know, that would be great as some modern Armada Cyclonus homage, if they ever got it in their heads.
Yes, yes.
Being able to place the mech tech weapon right where the minicons go on Cyclonus does not help.
It makes you want to do a head swap.
This will get me into the Radicon section.
Excellent.
I mean, assuming it doesn't cost, you know, $30
$30 to get him imported. I'm going to predict right now.
It'll be worth it though, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, deluxes retail in Japan for around 2,200 yen, I believe, and that right now converts to around $25. So, I think we're kind of boned either way. I think it's kind of worth it because he looks so good. And where the hell did this come from? Where Japan's like, oh man, let's pad out our line with a couple of repaints. We're going to make them really pretty too. Like,
man. In the days when the exclusives over in Japan is like, oh hey, it's the USA version.
Yeah. Or it's like, or there's slightly more G1 ish Power Glide and Onslaught.
Right.
I was kinda going, oh wow, I was not going to even look at Japan's Dark of the Moon toys, and now I'm getting punched in the neck in a good way. I'm gonna keep an eye out for it at BotCon. Has it been listed for sale anywhere yet?
Right now it's listed on Toys R Us Japan. I don't know if that makes it exclusive or not.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
It came with it's in a listing. It's like DD05 and DD06. So if it's in the, you know, the Cybertron Destron numerical system, I'm going to assume it to be, assume it to be mass release.
I hope it is. I hope it's not hard to get. Lupus, Aaron, are either of you guys looking at it?
Looking? Yes. Yes.
Lupus, does it look like a movie toy that you might actually buy?
No.
We're going to get
you. I've got a movie embargo. I'm sorry.
We're going to get you. We're going to get you.
Oh, you are, huh?
We're going to get you. Just give us time.
Oh, I'm not buying this by any stretch of the imagination. I'm looking at it. That's all I'm doing.
Aaron, I'm going to make you buy it.
No, you're not.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
You deny this every time, Aaron. You know what he does.
Aaron, you of all people. You should just accept what's going to happen.
It's like the elemental of capitalism.
That I am. But yeah, I'm happy that someone brought that up, because that was literally the first thing that came to mind for new picks for me, is that Vortex. I really want it. And I'm wondering if they're going to do any more like that. I mean, like I said, Air Raid was still, you know, I think he actually looks pretty good, all things considered, but he is skippable for me. But if they pump out another one that is as effective as Vortex, I'm going to be doomed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be boned. Lupus, have you got a new pick for us?
I do. I think Omegas and I both got the same PM on Twitter. I think, was it from Secret Code? About the Pretender
Bombers?
Yeah, everybody
got it. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So that's my selection this week.
Nobody, Tender actually, Bombers. Wait a second. Did he send me that tweet too? No, I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, all four of us were in the tweet.
I was about to complain about how no one ever talks to me about these things. But I can't.
You
now.
Just don't pay attention.
That's right. Can you paste the link in, by the way? Because it's buried somewhere in my Twitter.
Oh,
I don't know where.
Oh, I see how it is. Let's see.
I'm so organized. I'm like my own secretary.
You have a secretary?
Yes, and his name is me. Oh, is this a, so? Was A Prime the one who was doing the other ones we were looking at?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
A Prime.
A Prime.
So he used a build a figure pit figure, which I'm all for because I wasn't a huge fan of pit. And if the other half hears that, I'm going to be bludgeoned to death. I just think that he distilled what the character's monster form was into this figure, and it's amazing. The detail work that he did. Is that a new head, I believe? Completely scratch built?
I don't know what the Pitt's head looked like. I'm vaguely...
It's not that.
Okay.
That's for sure.
I didn't know if it was... I actually thought this was an Incredible Hulk figure at first glance.
Yeah, so did I.
But I'm curious about the head, too, because I would swear the sculpting style, if it looks so similar to some of the stuff on the body, that it would be built off of a Hulk head or a Pitt head, but I don't know. Like, it definitely is not just a repainted head. There is work done on it. But stuff like the eyebrow makes me go, like, it feels like it's built on something.
Which I'm sure the jawline? It just seems like it's segmented right there, like it was an add-on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm seeing if he says anywhere about the head, but I'm not seeing it right away. What really caught my eye is that the little robot mode is friggin' Terra Dive.
It's a deluxe.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Because before, they were basics, right, that we were looking at.
Yeah.
And,
terrible choice of a mold, so I'll be told that I should say.
Oh, right, you hate Terra Dive.
Yeah, with a passion.
Get out.
So I'm told.
Get
out. We got plenty of them here. We can send you some.
Yeah, there are plenty here, too.
Remember, what was it, like, last week? I know it wasn't last week, but it feels like it, when everyone was trying to find Terra Dive because you couldn't? And now he's everywhere?
Yeah. Well...
Oh, we got plenty here.
Also, props by the way, to Aprim for painting blue over Terra Dive. I know that, you know, you just have to base coat it, but to paint anything over that orange is probably a bunch of work. So, fist
Kudos.
In the air. Fist in the air.
We're going Jersey style?
Yes. Joyzy. Get me one of them tasty cakes with my Philly cheese steak. If I was going to say there's one thing I'm not totally into, it's that Bomber's basically just wearing pants. That's just me. I prefer armor stuff on Pretenders. But
well, it's got the armored codpiece.
That is true. That is true. And I know it's you know, wasn't the animated quote unquote bomb burst even kind of looking like this with the torn pants, or am I thinking of something else?
I think you're right, and that's
that
what
may be
I kind of like.
Animated, yeah,
yeah. So the precedent is there. I always prefer the look of the, because it's so ludicrous, where it's not just a giant monster biped thing, but it's also wearing armor.
You know, and like pants.
Yeah, it's like you're taking that extra step of like, I'm not just wearing ripped up pants. I'm wearing custom cut armor plated space pants. And I'm a bat monster.
I think one of the best details is, besides that, the pants, I mean, is his wrist gauntlets that have got blood soaked bandages on them.
Oh, I didn't notice that they were bandages. That's kind of cool.
That's kudos. Like,
that is going,
right.
Yeah, it's going all into the aesthetic of looking hardcore mutated.
He's not a good guy.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
it's just a little misunderstood. He needs some hugs.
Yeah, and like I think I said this before. I really like the approach of focusing on the Pretender shell and making the robot kind of just jack in as a backpack. It's a neat idea. I'm enjoying these. So thank you, official Radicon spokesperson Lupus Convoy. Aaron, have you got a new picture you'd like to pick out?
Yeah, actually, something I find interesting in my Kari bit is there is a set of officially licensed Transformers products for the Camaro.
Oh.
So that even if you didn't go all for, like the Camaro Bumblebee package, you can still get a Autobot logo or Transformers logo, gas cap or gas cover, since it has like a, looks like a riveted in aluminum billet piece.
Yep.
For your gas cover, where they have that. And I think that would be very interesting to have that sort of thing for across the board.
No, accessories.
For auto accessories to be some of the low level geek without having to blare it.
Yeah, just subtly accessorizing your vehicle to Autobot or Decepticon it up.
Oh yeah, they do have trailer hitch covers as well. with the Autobot and Decepticon logos.
You should just get the full-on hood ornament.
Yeah. Just completely repaint the whole vehicle to the G1 box art.
Yeah, just put that grid on it.
No, I'm talking the box art on the back, not the grid.
Oh, I just thought you meant the grid from the packaging.
No, you gotta get, you're gonna go a little way. You might as well go all out.
I guess. Like, that grid would be kind of cool, though. Like, just the purple grid from the Decepticon boxes, just, like, tampoed over the entire car. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually just meeting up with a friend of mine who has an Autobot symbol built into his front grille of his car, which was kind of neat. My own pick is a bit of a disappointment. It seems that one of the most popular Transformers sublines is going a little bit downhill in quality. I mean, I know we're all fans of Star Wars Transformers, but we've got our first look at the new wave of the new style Star Wars Transformers, the 2011 ones.
The smaller and apparently kind of derpy ones.
Yeah, they look pretty horrible. And I don't mean that in terms of someone going like, yeah, that's Star Wars Transformers. I mean, no, let's go in this as someone who says, hey, Star Wars Transformers have turned out all right now and then. These ones look bad. They look horrible. General Grievous, I don't even know what's happening with him. Anakin has gorilla arm syndrome going on. It's a bummer because I was hoping that with all the support this line seems to have been getting, they would take steps forward, and this is actually, to me, a very legitimate step back, unless I'm missing something in this photography. Maybe these are just really horrible photos taken of toys that are totally better than previous Star Wars Transformers. I don't know. But two out of these three look like they are worse off than TIE Fighter Vader. And I do not feel very good about that. You guys, as devout fans of Star Wars Transformers, how are you feeling about these?
Wow. Derpity derp derp derp.
Now, here's the hard thing to remember about these is these aren't for Transformer collectors. I mean, it's nice, but at the same time, it's the Star Wars fans that buy these up because they're affordable little minis of the vehicles, which are normally like outrageously expensive and very hard to have a ton of. This is a nice little alternative for them. And the robot's like an extra.
And did the vehicle modes on these turn out all right? Because I don't know my Star Wars vehicles that well.
The vehicle modes are good.
Yeah, the vehicle modes are good. They're a little bit dumpy, a little bit hefty compared to how they normally are. But seeing these seem to be a very smaller scale. I would imagine these to be pretty much on point. For the size are going to be.
Actually, I'll throw this out here. The set of three on Big Bad is selling for under $30, which means these are being priced out at around $10 each. That
so
is
scouts.
Yeah, that is a different price point. I guess I can see that. I suppose I could see that. It does help that they are not that $15 to $20 price point, but if that means that they look like this, I don't know. I would have rather see them operate inside that higher budget somehow.
Well, it looks like they're expanding the line because, as far as I know, are the main ones canceled or
I don't know
because we've got these smaller ones now. We also already have we know they're doing another huge one, the quad changer.
That's true. I'm interested to see how the quad changer turns out. It sounds like my kind of thing.
This just baffles me, though. I mean, how is this the crossovers line that succeeds?
Like you said, Star Wars fans want to buy it, and there are a million more of them than there are of us.
Yeah, at least.
And
wait,
like
did
I said,
you say this, million or billion? Because I think it's with a B.
I might have misspoken there. And the thing is that also I will always say that the larger 15 or over here they're $20. I'm not going to lie, but the larger ones. Have had a few hits. I mean, Yoda was great. Commander Cody as the truck thing that everyone redoes as the Halo vehicle is great for Star Wars Transformers, at least. I think Emperor Palpatine is kind of fun. He hits this really delightful level of ludicrous that the TIE Fighter Vader tried to hit and failed to. There have been a few neat ones, you know? So I don't know. If this is just a new size class, then I hope that this is them finding their feet and that this is just the TIE Fighter Vader of the smaller ones, and they can eventually have their own Yoda.
You're so harsh to the TIE Fighter Vader. There are so many worse toys in that line.
Yeah, but the TIE Fighter Vader to me was one of the more egregious ones because it was such an it was a concept that should not have turned out badly.
Yeah, it should have been a cake.
Yeah, it should have been. Yeah. This is nuts, and I love this, but it has so many outright engineering flaws, and they did fix a lot of them. I always say, these guys. This is, as I understand it, made by the Star Wars team and not by the Transformers team. So they've come far on the larger ones.
I don't know. Go play with the Boba Fett one and tell me about engineering flaws again.
That's the thing. He's wave two. I'm talking Commander Cody Yoda level stuff. Look at Yoda and compare him to some of the ones from when this line started.
Oh, well, yeah.
There is clear evolution in the line on some level. That's why I can't really get a mass wine light hate on for it, because it's done some good. Did I say line wide or wine lied? I don't know.
That's a good question. We'll have to go back to the audio.
Yeah, we'll figure this out later. But those are our new picks. I hope they were as good for you as they were for Aaron.
Yeah, they're all right for me.
Yeah. Coming up next, we've got a little bit of news here on Andy Schmidt, IDW head honcho-ish guy who is no longer with IDW, who has now joined Hasbro. I'm sure...
Didn't we just have some foreshadowing about that?
Yeah, we might have, yes. Andy Schmidt was the editor of G.I. Joe and Transformers. He is no longer the editor of G.I. Joe and Transformers. And to all the comics readers out there, I know this is probably causing some major discussion because a lot of folks have looked at Andy Schmidt as being a root of some things they didn't like in the Transformers books. And I myself am curious as to how the Transformers books are going to go with a new editor. I have had ups and downs with stuff Andy Schmidt has worked on. I'm not cheering that he's gone, and I'm not sad that he's gone. I'm just curious how things will go now. Because, some cool stuff has come out under Andy Schmidt and some crap has come out under Andy Schmidt. When I think Andy Schmidt, on one hand, I think he was there when they did Last Stand of the Wreckers, if I recall correctly. On the other hand, he was also there when the era of Carlos Magno began. So, I don't know. I'm curious to see how this will go with him being replaced. I believe they're still looking for a replacement at IDW. Aaron, as the other major comic book reader in the room right now that I'm aware of, how do you feel about this news?
I think it's good that Hasbro is doing something like this. They're getting more people that are storyline-based, especially those that have experience in the system, with the air quotes that the microphone doesn't pick up. Maybe if my knuckles crack a little bit. So that you can have maybe a little bit better continuity across have those ideas carry across a lot better so that you're not getting lost threads.
All right. Omegas Lupus, I don't know how heavily you guys are aware of Andy Schmidt, but do you have any reactions to this story yourselves? None whatsoever.
Well, I was going to let the other person go first.
Oh.
I am not too up on my Schmidt. I have already put in my application to be IDW's new go-to guy.
You better do a good job.
I can't promise that.
Because if you don't, we're totally going to talk Wang about how you're doing on the book club podcast.
Then you could actually.
I have this great comic idea called Brand New Solar Cycle.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Is Carlos Magno going to be on the art?
Maybe.
Hope to see more from him. Lupus, how about yourself?
If he's responsible for allowing Magno to go through, I weep for the future of the franchise.
Well, it's how it timed out, is that, you know, he took the reins on IDW and a whole bunch of stuff started up, and one of the less awesome things that started up was the inclusion of Magno art in the movie books. But like I said, he has also had some very good books come out under his editorship. So it could go either way. I'm with Aaron in that I think it's great that they're bringing in someone who is aware of the idea of having some continuity in fiction. Granted, that will cause some comments to arise immediately of, you're saying Andy Schmidt and continuity in the same sentence. Isn't this the guy who brought about Continuum? Perhaps, but sets a good precedent at least. And I wonder if perhaps it is being done in light of the whole thing of trying to execute Transformers Prime and War for Cybertron and Exodus as all being some kind of continuity. Perhaps this is an idea to bring in a specialist to patch it together and make it work a little bit more. And
that's kind of funny. All in the same continuity. Transformers?
I mean, just Prime, War for Cybertron, and Exodus are supposed to all be somehow in the same sort of field of view. And, you know, I was just totally taking a crack at it, but, you know, he did do Continuum, which, for better or for worse, did kind of take some loose and lucid continuity and just smack it all together into a cement block. So, I don't know. I'm interested to see what his role at Hasbro will even be. Like, I didn't catch if he's even being brought on for a story editing purpose. But
copy guy.
Well, Andy Schmidt is he's former Marvel Comics, right? So he's, if I'm recalling correctly, was it Marvel or DC? I think it was Marvel. I believe he said that he was around for, was it Death of Captain America? I used to know all this way better last year, but I haven't talked about Andy Schmidt in ages. So he's got comics chops, so I'm sure they're bringing him in for something related to that. And I'm curious to see how it turns out. I'm not going to doomsay it. I'm not going to be cheering that he's gone or anything. But, you know, if it was some other name, I might have a more violent reaction in either direction, good or bad. Andy Schmidt, I'm more so like, well, I'm curious to see how this will turn out. Because Andy Schmidt's whole run in IDW has always made me go like, well, I'm curious to see how this will turn out. So that's my approach. Feel free to comment in the thread if you have some thoughts on it yourself. I guess we can move on. What is next up on the plate? Next thing up on the plate might take a while. I think we should take an intermission break before we do this. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Good idea.
All right. I'm going to go and put some cucumbers on my eyes, and then we will be back with what we got this week.
The Tower of Power. Too sweet to be sour. Funky like a monkey. Ooh, yeah.
Future.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and yeah, when you're a scammer in Lafayette, Aaron takes it pretty dire to heart.
Yeah.
Don't scam when you're in Lafayette.
Lafayette, it's not, there's no...
Lafayette.
We've bastardized the...
Lafayette.
Monsieur Lafayette's name. Yeah, it's Lafayette.
Okay. Don't scam, ever. We're here with what we got this week. It's Dark of the Moon release week, and I don't think that we actually have a huge pile of Dark of the Moon toys, but we have a couple Dark of the Moon toys to talk about. But before that, let's talk about some non-Dark of the Moon toys, because I know that Lupus got some non-Dark of the Moon toys.
I'm never getting any Dark of the Moon toys.
Oh, you will.
Oh, what are you going to do? Like, hang it over my head at the convention going, you're going to get it.
I'm going to make you fall in love with Crankcase.
We've done it before. We made somebody try and figure out how to ship a giant plastic beach ball home.
That's right. What's
You'll end up with something darker than the moon.
We did it to Boardwise.
Yeah.
Never! I'll be strong!
I'm going to make you love Crankcase. I'm going to make the whole internet love Crankcase. That's my goal this year.
Didn't you already succeed with Sprain? Why Crankcase?
Because Crankcase is glorious. I'll tell you about that later.
Okay, very briefly, I got, thanks to Big Bad Boombox, the local New Hampshire group, I managed to get yet another copy of Thundercracker.
Hey!
So this is the mass release version. And, you know, I like the fact that I actually have it. It's nice to, in the drought of New Hampshire of not seeing almost anything, that he was able to hook a brother up, and now that's two that I owe him for. Got me the KO Toys knockoff, and this version. So, it's pretty cool. Nice tight joints, so it's definitely a revamped mold. And he looks pretty styling with the rest of the Seekers.
And did any of your other Thundercrackers spontaneously combust from its presence?
They glittered a bit, but I think that was just synergy.
Was it sunlight? Thundercracker is a vampire.
They have some sort of standing wave feedback bounce off of each other.
Yeah, it's like they exponentially get more powerful and more awesome closer they get together.
It's the power of blue, man.
Don't be dissing the blue.
Blue is the smartest color.
We're very hopeful, us blues. You know, we got a little dog. It's all good. On top of that, thanks to TFG1 Mike, he finally was able to get my clear animated Rodimus convoy off to me.
Cool. Yeah. That's the Sons of Cybertron one, right? Like the
I believe so. I just know that he's clear and shiny and oh so nice.
He was a lot of people's first Rodimus because he came out first.
Really?
Yeah, he came out before the mass release one. I really like him too. He's real pretty.
The thing about him that kind of threw me was the fact that when I actually got to, you know, pick him up, play with him and everything, and transform him, I was really surprised at how low in the back the wing actually goes on that figure.
For some reason, I thought
it went up higher.
It's a little bit adjustable. Some people, you might have seen photos, because some people just transform it in a certain way where it does end up higher. There's kind of ways you can mess with it, because it's on that weird sort of hinge deal. Where you can customize it a little bit to your tastes. But, yeah, that might be why it looks a bit lower.
I don't know. I really do like the figure. And I like the gold paint scheme. Like, it's in comparison to the to the Toys R Us exclusive version, it just pops out a lot more, which works with the clear crystal of the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So if people get the opportunity to get it, I would highly suggest it.
Excellent. Fantastic.
And that's all I got this week.
Well, you know, it's a good way to kind of end your buying before you start spending hundreds of dollars on Dark of the Moon when people get their hooks into you.
I think Vance Project's already beat you to it.
Oh, I'll find a way. Don't worry about that.
Hey, you've already got me going for Bugman. Stop.
I can never stop. I did not get any non-Dark of the Moon Transformers this week myself. I think that we all got Dark of the Moon Transformers this week, and we got a little bit of crossover. So let's start off with the one that I know we can all talk about, which is Cyberverse Commanders. Myself, I got Power Glide, Blackout, and Sentinel Prime. Aaron, which ones did you get?
Of the Commanders, I got Power Glide and Sentinel Prime.
All right, and Omegas, which ones did you get?
Sentinel and Megatron.
Why don't we talk about Sentinel Prime first?
All right.
We all got him. So this is a small, roundabout $10-ish price-pointed Sentinel Prime. And I went into I want to open up with this one because I adore Scout Toys. I don't know if you guys knew this, but ever since Revenge of the Fallen, I felt Scout Toys were possibly the best price point we've ever had, because nearly every figure that came out of that price point was awesome in some way, except for Crankstart. And so when I saw that we were losing the Scouts and getting these Cyberverse Commanders, I was real down on Cyberverse going in. I was about as down as you can be on Cyberverse, because I was like, these are Legends Plus. What is this crap? The goddamn Protoman, in a Skype conversation, really played up Cyberverse. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll try it. I'll give it a shot. And I'll even give it a shot on both Cyberverse scales. As one of the first Wave 1 Sentinel Prime, he's not quite as strong as Power Glide and Blackout, but I actually am kind of enjoying him. I think because he has all his accessories, and they all store somewhere, and he has a somewhat tall robot mode. It's not superposable, it's not awesomely painted, but there's something very fun about it, and very pocket-sized about it, where I kind of see where this is coming from now. This is definitely not a replacement for the Scouts. This is definitely, to me, Legends Plus. But that's not really a bad thing, because Legends have gotten better of late.
Yeah.
And this does feel like it's on the more positive end of the Legends styling, rather than the lower Gold Bumblebee end. No offense to those who like Gold Bumblebee.
I think these guys may actually be for a good scale with the Legends, so that you can have your Legends and your Commanders.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Scale That's something I really loved about the whole Cyberverse concept, that you have basically the same toy line miniaturized and more affordable for kids.
Yeah, and they are all on the same scale. You have your small guys and your big guys. I mean, vehicle modes, there's going to be disparity, but they are basically just meant to be this little world of small toys that are all meant to be next to each other, and I kind of buy into that, especially since some of the smaller Legend-style ones have remolds, so they all have the 3mm clip somewhere, because that is now the Cyberverse weapon system, is the 3mm clip system, and that ups their playability hardcore. So I am kind of into this. Omega, since you're kind of low on Cyberverse stock, how are you feeling about Sentinel?
Low on everything stock around here so far.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I was going into it hoping that this was more along the lines of smaller, more complex Scouts, and ended up with more complex Legends instead. So I guess on an expectation point of view, I was a little disappointed at first.
I was expecting now, Legends Plus going in, so I think maybe that helped me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, for what it is, it's a cool figure. I mean, I don't regret the purchase or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like, I don't know, it shouldn't be as limited as it is. Maybe that's just me just like hoping for more from, you know,
I
the size of it.
I really wish it had at least one more major point of articulation on Sentinel Prime.
Yeah.
That is my biggest problem with him. He's fine, he's great, but he feels like, and it's not like he needs just more joints, he just needs one more joint. He needs some swivel somewhere, or like, so either a limb swivel or a waist joint or a neck joint. Any one of those things, and I'd feel 100 times better about him. It feels like he's just missing that one little thing to push him up.
On the cusp.
Yeah. He's still that. If he had that one more thing, that would push him up from being so legendy to me. And I say that not to totally disparage the toy, because as I said, he does a lot of really great things. He's got a great size. He grows really nicely into robot mode. Like when you look at the size of his vehicle mode compared to his robot mode, there's a real great kind of invisible mass shift there. So it does a lot of good things, but it also is wave one. And I only have this single wave one guy. So Omegas, I did want to ask you, how does Megatron compare to Sentinel?
Megatron, I find a little bit more favorably.
Hmm.
Because he has a little bit more articulation going for him. He's got double elbow joints, thanks to transformation. That makes him nice. And the elbows are ball jointed too, so he does have a little bit more swivel action.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually like the weaponry that he comes with.
It looks interesting.
It works a lot better, because in vehicle mode, it's the whole like rear tank for him. Mm-hmm. But that's completely removable. There isn't a big gap left behind, so it's an optional piece. So I kind of like that cab or, you know, a gas tank, because I can't call it a trailer, because it's not even close. But I do like that, you know, he's got just the right articulation level for the size.
Okay.
And thanks to those forming two weapons, he has a lot more you can do with him.
Because that does answer one of my questions, because I was wondering if Sentinel was indicative of just the feature set of that entire first wave. Because I felt that the second wave was a marked improvement on Sentinel, and I was wondering if it was going to be a full-on marked improvement. I do plan to pick up the rest of the commanders sometime, just because I am surprised by how much I like them. But I was curious about that. Aaron, you and I can speak on, at least in the case of Power Glide, what the disparity is between Wave 1 and Wave 2 in that sense, because Power Glide feels like he's a far superior toy to me.
Yeah, I think Power Glide, between joint placement for transformation even, has stepped it up a little bit. Plus, I think the fact that he, maybe since he's not locked into a very specific vehicle mode, although the A-10 Warthog-ish, you know, style is still kind of close, mm-hmm. you can fudge the alt a little bit more if, hey, I, you know, really would like it if it had, you know, in his case, he's got additional little panels on top of the engine that turn into toes when his foot comes down, that if it was something that was licensed product, they'd say, heck no. But since it's not,
yeah,
you know, this doesn't have to match the licensed product to a 99% match. You can go, okay, well, that would be nice to have that for this, so we can go ahead and do it, versus with Sentinel, since it has to be a specific vehicle, then you have to get everything to fit inside of that.
And just on a toy level, like you said, and this is the big one for me on Power Glide. Power Glide does feel like I want what I want out of Cyberverse, because he doesn't feel like a Legend Plus. He feels more like something that is just a really well-engineered small toy. He is all the posability problems I have with Sentinel Prime do not exist on Power Glide, because Power Glide has that one extra joint everywhere. He has the bicep swivel. He has the mid-knee swivel. He doesn't have a waist joint or a neck joint, but his limbs are so fully posable, you don't really need them as much for such a low-cost toy. He's really well done. And Lupus, this is the Dark of the Moon toy that I want you to buy. Power Glide.
So would that count to you as a Dark of the Moon toy?
I've already got two classics Power Glides. I don't need a third one.
This is a small one, though. This is one that fits in your pocket.
Fits with the original mini-bot idea.
No. Yeah.
Don't you want a proper mini-bot display? Because you got all these
foot's
other
down.
You got all these other styles of mini-bots. Power Glide is practically meant to be right there with your little bumblebee.
Nope. Embargo.
You should at least take a look at one in the package if you see it. At least have a look at it. Tell me what you think when you have a look at it. Give me that much.
If I see it, but this is New Hampshire, I'll probably get it in like 12 years.
You're coming to BotCon, right?
Yep.
Or we'll see it there.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I already have Gaia memories. Stop pushing.
It's just one toy. It's just one toy.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
But yeah, Power Glide, to me, is a massive improvement over Sentinel Prime, and to look at them and say this is Wave 1 and Wave 2 has me super excited about Wave 3, if the same level of disparity can exist there. Aaron, what do you think? I don't know. Am I overestimating based on Sentinel Prime?
I think it may be overestimating. I think that Sentinel Prime may be an outlier.
Hmm. Well, that is why Omegas, you could probably speak on this as well. Am I giving Sentinel Prime too much credit as being indicative of Wave 1?
Or... if I had picked up Ironhide and Optimus, I could have told you that. From where I stand, Sentinel comes off at the weekend of Wave 1.
Okay. That is good to know. Because another reason why I didn't pick up Megatron and Prime in particular is because there are so many versions of them coming out between the ones with trailers that transform and whatnot. I wasn't exactly sure which one I should get. So I wanted to do a little bit of research, but I think I'm just going to get the trailer-less ones for now. I did get Blackout, who is another wave. He's the other Wave 2 commander. And Blackout is almost as good as Power Glide. And depending on what you like out of your toys, you might think he's better than Power Glide. He is not as poseable as Power Glide, but he has a way more interesting transformation, and he friggin' comes with Scorponok. He comes with a full-on entire Scorponok who can transform very slightly, and by that I mean you bend his tail to clip into the back of the helicopter mode as an engine thing, and then he's okay. Scorponok with a poseable tail, and then he turns into a gun. So this is a Scorponok who turns into a pistol for Blackout to use. And again, since it's Cyberverse, this all uses the 3mm clip system. And Blackout's transformation on this toy is superior to the Voyager toy. And it's really well done, because the helicopter mode is super clean. And you lose the thing the Voyager had of having just all this, the foot parts sticking out the bottom. Because Blackout's feet pretty much fold up, and then it's hard to describe this. They turn into the central core of the helicopter, and then the arms turn into the entire side panelings and then wrap around the folded up legs. It's really well done, and I would highly recommend Blackout as well. His robot mode is not as poseable. It is more on a sort of Legends Plus styling, but with the transformation it has and with its really well done helicopter mode, it is also... something that is making me want to revisit Cyberverse. Power Glide and Blackout are incredibly good ambassadors for Cyberverse as a line. They turned out really well, in my opinion. Blackout, I would have loved it if he could have... He's another one where I would have loved him more if he had just one more joint, but what he has over Sentinel Prime is just a far more amazing transformation for such a small toy. So I am really into Blackout. Aaron, did you see Blackout at all where you were, or did you just see Power Glide, or did you Hasbro them, or Amazon them? I can't remember.
No, these are all from the store. I'm trying to remember if I saw Blackout or not. I can't remember.
Because if you like Power Glide, I'd say you should check out Blackout. Worst case, you might not like him as much, but he is a very interesting...
Worst case, you may hate the toy with the Fury of a Thousand Suns, but, you know.
Then you can at least say you have it. Duh. But no, if you're liking anything about Cyberverse, Blackout and Power Glide are by far... awesome, just as a pair. Okay, here's my bonus one I can throw in, though. I also picked up Cyberverse Crankcase, who is the smaller price point. And guess what? He's a Legends toy. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
The one advantage he has, and that apparently, like, because some of those Cyberverse toys, I was a little bit disappointed to find out, are just movie and Revenge of the Fallen Legends. For some of the return characters, like Barricade. But they've all been remolded. Even the twins and Barricade, in particular, have been remolded to have a 3mm clip system-ready hand at some point, so they can all hold weapons. So, what is kind of cool is that Crankcase can hold, like, Sentinel Prime's sword. And okay. It goes in super tight, but it does pop right in there. And so these are the Legion figures I'm talking about now, like the smaller ones. I'd say that the new mold Legions might be worth looking into, at least for one, just so you can have a smaller one amidst the commanders, because Crankcase and Blackout standing next to each other look kind of cool. Unfortunately, as I said, a lot of those Legion guys are rehashed Legends toys, and I am not super interested in a lot of those, but, I'm pleasantly surprised with this Crankcase one. He's got really demented legs, but he has ball jointed hips and shoulders on a Legends class toy, so he is pretty poseable for his size. So I don't know. I am really warmed up to Cyberverse, and I think I might pick up the arc. I'm at that point now. Omegas, Aaron, are either of you thinking of the arc? Comes with Roller.
Maybe. I was looking at the Bumblebee and whatever.
Oh, you mean the... The transforming trailer vehicle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one of those and it was in my hands. I'm like, this looks kind... No, BotCon's coming.
Yeah, those ones...
Save money for BotCon.
Those ones come with Legion guys, so I'm a little bit less interested in them, but... The Commander ones with trailers, I might go for. Lupus, are you going to totally pick up the Cyberverse arc? Because it's the arc, and that is totally not just from the movie. That's from...
I would have to see it in person.
It comes with an official toy called Roller.
Didn't we get a cool third-party Roller, though?
Yeah, but this one's an official.
Two or three.
This one's an official one. Don't you like Roller? Props or Roller.
I like Roller, but I like my third party stuff better.
This is why no one ever. This is why no one wants to hang out with me at BotCon. Anyway, that's our Cyberverse coverage. Let's go up class. Unfortunately, Omegas, that is all the Dark of the Moon you got, right?
My Walmart is completely dilapidated right now.
Yeah, I did not have much trouble finding Wave 1 stuff. As I expected, it was pretty plentiful, but I did only see one Leader Sentinel Prime, and my friend bought it because he was way more after Sentinel Prime than I was. But we'll get to that in a sec. Let's talk Human Alliance. Aaron, you got a couple, and I got a couple. We did get a shared one. We both got Backfire. He's the trike.
That's the trike one. Okay.
Okay. So
digging through the pile of stuff. Hold on.
My capsule on this guy is. I love his vehicle mode and I love his gun mode, but the robot mode's arms are a bummer to me. The arms needed some more defined elbows, I think. Which is a shame, because otherwise it turns out pretty okay. But it definitely is not the strongest one.
Yeah, even a defined hand.
Yeah.
He has, like, the inside of the forearm, there's something on here that's handish, so it's a hand.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks because I love the vehicle mode, and the weapon mode is one of my faves because it has, like, a glowing orange cannon barrel effect.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It's really good light piping plastic. It's like a bright translucent orange that just blazes when you get a lamp behind it. But that robot mode, it's not a poor robot mode. It's just one that feels fundamentally flawed in some way. And yeah. In my case, I think it's the arms.
Did you have issues getting the back tire to stay together?
I did not, but I'm kind of good. It is a puzzle. You have to know that exact point when you're supposed to twist it a certain way. Otherwise, it just pops off the ball joint.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying having the wheel stay together because it looks like there are three or four different places where it should clip together. And I only found one that worked, and then it also has to be all the way down. It's like there's something that's just slightly out of skew.
Oh, no, mine stays together solid, and I can move it up and down.
No, mine, I have to have it almost all the way down, because once I start going up, I must have some sort of minor alignment thing that kicks it out just a hair.
That's a shame, because that being able to move it up and down is kind of like a shock suspension simulation.
Yeah. Well, I can get a little bit of movement from being, like, all the way down to maybe 20 or 30 degrees of motion.
Hmm.
But after that, it looks like there are pegs on the stems of the ball joint that cause it to kick out a little bit.
That all said, though, his clip system weapons are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Those
big
are
big machine guns.
Big machine guns.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is his buddy can't quite actually grab them, even though the directions show him grabbing them in his weapon mode.
You can do it, but you'll rip the hand open if you do.
Yeah.
So Backfire, you know, if you... This is the thing about these Human Alliance basics is you got to, I'd say, pick one up if you think two out of the three modes look good. Because unfortunately, that seems to be the case with a lot of them. A lot of people said the Dune Buggy is the best one, but his weapon mode looks like junk. It's just it's a pile of Dune Buggy with a missile launcher on the front, whereas you got, like, Backfire and Ice Pick have definable weapon modes that really look like weapons. And that dune buggy one, I don't think does. I like the look of his other modes, but I don't know. That's why I picked these two first. But Aaron, any other thoughts on Backfire? What do you think of the Human Alliance figure itself, the little human dude? I'm happy he has a wrist swivel. It really helps.
Yeah, the wrist swivel makes a big difference. Because the previous ones didn't have that, did they?
No, and it meant that they had a lot of trouble actually holding on to the handles they were supposed to be holding.
Right. It was one of those things that I moved his wrist to get it to line up with something. I'm like, wait a second. Was that stock?
And the ball joint
on
the
head.
Did I
just twist his hand right off?
The ball joint on the head neck area is a little bit emotive, I found. Not so much on this one, but...
Is that a ball? Okay, on this one it seems like it's just a swivel.
On Sergeant Chaos, he can actually tilt his head a little bit.
Okay.
So the possibility is there.
Cool.
Lupus, you should look into these Human Alliance toys because they are totally not totally. They're not all movie-ish. They're kind of like
come on, Ice Pick
is Ice Pick.
I'll admit, Ice Pick is one of the figures that has tempted me.
I'm going to tell you all about Ice Pick in a second,
but I don't know.
Give me a moment.
It would have been
here.
Cooler if it had minicon figures.
Let's talk some more Backfire before I go and make Lupus spend some money.
Oh, but you can't because I'm broke.
I'll find a way. Aaron, what do you do with the front black thing? Do you fold it up or flip it down in vehicle mode?
Fold it up because it's supposed to be a brush guard.
Okay. That thing in robot mode, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it.
Those are 3mm clips on the end of that.
Yeah, but it feels like I wish there was a more defined place to fold them to, because you can really have them either direction and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And they feel kind of like they're just hanging
for
there.
Robot mode, now granted I've only had these for... You know, we've been talking for 2 hours, so 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But in my fiddlings, it looks like they can maybe make like quasi brass knuckle type
of
things.
I suppose so. Yeah.
So it's to help with the punching in the face, but.
But yeah, this guy is I'd say buy him for the vehicle mode and the gun mode more so than the robot mode. That said, if you like the robot mode, you're going to be 3 for 3. So you're all set to go.
So good on you.
Yeah. The gun, by the way, I did try to get Crankcase to hold it, and I could kind of get it to work, but it does look pretty ludicrous. Now, I like ludicrous things, so that was all cool. But these weapon modes do seem to be way more built for Voyagers and Leaders, and by that I mean Leaders. Voyagers...
I tried it with the Leader, and it still's kind of derpy.
It looks awesome on Voyager Megatron, because he is built to have a crazy-ass weapon arm, and that's what these things can basically become on him. But, yeah, Backfire, check them out. It helps their package in robot mode, so you can see how you like that. Just quickly, though, I want to get all your guys' thoughts. What do you guys think of Thunderhead? He's the one who turns into a crab thing, and his weapon mode is a robot that is piloted. I don't know what I think about that.
I made the mistake of buying that one.
Oh, I forgot.
I've actually not worked him through all the modes yet. So.
Okay. I heard he's actually a pretty solid toy. I just... find his alt
Thanks for
modes.
Trying to sell me up on it after the fact.
Well, you know, from someone who has it, they said that they thought he was actually pretty solid. It's just that his alt modes do make very little sense. Because, I mean, the Walker thing is... I heard it's actually grounded in reality somehow. But I don't recall how. But that mech mode is just odd. Like, to turn into an exosuit seems strange. I like the concept, sort of, but...
I tend to call it meat shield mode.
It's kind of a quasi power master-ish thing.
Well, I mean,
it seems like a great way to get your human pilot killed.
Yeah, P.O. had like a neat idea about it. I think it was him who said it, where it's kind of like, well, maybe if Thunderhead like gets knocked out or something like that, then his human buddy can still like man him and get him to escape the battlefield or something like that. But it's a strange concept. I'm glad they went for that concept at least once, but it is a strange delivery. Aaron, I know you said you haven't messed with the toy that much, but how are you feeling about what you've seen so far? Does it feel all right, or are you really feeling like, oh man, why did I buy this?
It's just a little bit of oddity that I've come across so far, and that he has like painted kneecaps, but they're actually the backs of his knees. So, I mean, I've only had him in robot mode as I pulled him out of the package and kind of tucked things up a little bit better.
Thunderhead is an oddity.
But yeah, the backs, like his calves are painted gold. So I don't know if that's to look better in alt mode or what's going on with it. He has handlebars on the back of his head.
Awesome. You can pilot his head.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's part of his weapon mode or what's going on, but like I said, I've had him for a half hour before we started the show, so I haven't got a ton of time.
No deep thoughts on Major Tungsten yet either. All right.
No.
I will say it's a really cool alt mode, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I'd want to pilot in real life.
Like I said, I heard that there is some kind of real-life military grounding in what that alt mode is. Like, it's based on some kind of conceptual vehicle or something like that. I'm not fully remembering. I'm hoping a listener can chime in on that one. But I'd swear I heard people saying that it is based on something, which I thought was actually pretty cool. And it warmed me up to it. Like, when I first looked at it, I was like, what is that? And then I heard, like, oh, there's practical applications of it. That's kind of cool. But Lupus, I'm going to make you buy Ice Pick now.
Oh, dear God, why?
Okay, number one, his human buddy, Sergeant Chaos, is like the best human buddy I've ever seen, because he totally just looks like a Snow Viper from G.I. Joe. Like, he's even got like a little helmet and goggles and a faceplate.
It looks like Darth Vader in the pictures we have on TFW.
No, he is totally...
Like a derpy Darth Vader helmet.
No, he is totally a Cobra soldier. It's that kind of helmet, like where he has a helmet on a face mask with goggles, like all these superfluous items that don't really go together, but they mean that he's faceless. And he has a Decepticon symbol on his belly. Not on his chest, not on his shoulder, but
right
in the center of his stomach, he has a Decepticon symbol, which is kind of
so cute. The Autobots know exactly where to shoot him.
Yep. And because of that big collar around his neck joint, you can actually tilt his head quite a bit, which on a Human Alliance toy is kind of amazing to me. As for Ice Pick himself, I will say right now, there are literally people just referring to this toy as she in the feedback thread at this point. It seems like it's becoming a fan-driven retcon that Human Alliance Ice Pick is now a girl. I can see why. There are a lot of curves. It is a somewhat feminine color scheme, but I still think of him as the Power Core guy right now. Maybe I'll change my mind later.
It reminds me of the one boob chick from Kung Pao.
I haven't seen Kung Pao yet.
What? Shame!
I know.
You have not seen Enter the Fist?
No, I haven't.
Shame!
I think it's on Netflix. I might be able to just Netflix stream it.
Maybe shame!
I want to be cool! But the robot mode, I'll say this right now, the weapon mode is kind of awesome, provided you can see that and buy it as a chainsaw. I can, but I know I've talked to some people who said that looks nothing like a chainsaw, and I'm like, it's true, it does just look like inverted treads, but to me it looks kind of like a chainsaw.
It's movie-verse, it all looks like shrapnel anyway.
Lupus, did you see my picture of Megatron's chainsaw arm?
No.
I will work on getting that to you while I'm talking. But the robot mode of Ice Pick is a very solid scout toy, in my opinion. It is just that. It is a solid scout toy with clip system missiles. One of the downsides of this dude is that his clip system points, none of them are very solid. You're supposed to use some on the back of the vehicle mode, for instance, that the clip system weapons can literally just slide off of if you bump them the wrong way. Which is a bit of a bummer, but the robot mode, though, I think, like, the vehicle mode, it's great, especially because there is a human riding it. If it was just that vehicle mode by itself, I think it might have actually been a bit weaker, but having the human right there riding the thing, giving you the sense of scale, makes the vehicle mode really cool to me. And the robot mode is just this spooky-looking death goalie. Ice Pick's head sculpt literally looks like a goalie mask. And there are no eyes. It is just this purple faceplate with crisscrossed black grilling over the front. And I love the way it looks. It makes me think of Transformers Prime Soundwave to a degree, which I don't know if you guys knew this, but I really dig Transformers Prime Soundwave.
Hadn't heard.
True story. And what's nice that I was surprised by as well is that the head just flips up from the front of the vehicle mode, but it also has a ball joint. So the posability on Ice Pick, I think, is actually pretty good. And it is a very solid scout toy to me. And it also helps that you can give Megatron a chainsaw hand, which I'm just grabbing the link for now. Are you guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
I think I've seen this.
Ready for this? Hang on, I can't paste properly. There you go. So Ice Pick, I love. And I've seen a lot of people say Ice Pick is the weakest of the bunch. I'm not seeing it myself. I'm not seeing how Icepick is worse off, for instance, than Thunderhead. Lupus, do you see that picture?
Looks like he just took a jet ski and slammed it on his arm.
Well, that's basically the idea I went for in connecting it there, because the Mech-Tech port is on his forearm, so I was like, he can just fold his hand in and wrap the chainsaw over the front of his knuckle and turn his hand into a chainsaw.
That's awesome.
So I really do think Icepick is worth it. It helps that Icepick is also a lower cost toy. I mean, this is, how much is Icepick again? Like 10, 12
like 10
bucks?
Bucks.
Yeah.
10 bucks.
For 10 bucks, Icepick is hardcore worth it, I think. And Lupus, I think you should pick up Icepick.
Oh, you would.
What's really cool is his treads, they split open into the chainsaw configuration and they form like chainsaw butterfly wings on his back. It's so cool.
You're trying to wear me down. Stop.
And he's got, he's like I said, he's so poseable and he's all smooth and curved and svelte. Hardcore worth your 10 bucks, in my opinion. And he totally,
we'll see at BotCon.
He doesn't look like a movie toy either. His hands are they're like human hands. They have four fingers and a thumb. He just has little boots. He doesn't look like a movie toy in any way, shape or form.
I thought it was a she.
Well, the fans want to say it's a she. I'm not really sure yet myself. I haven't decided. So I just want to talk up Icepick a whole bunch. Lupus, I think you should get Icepick.
I noticed.
They're gonna have Icepick at the Fun Pub store, probably, for retail price.
You know what? If you can get him onto the Hall of Fame dinner. Okay, we'll be talking then.
Do I need to bring my Icepick to BotCon?
You need to get him on the ballot next year.
Dude, Icepick could get on the ballot. He's had two toys now, Power Core and Human Alliance.
It's better than Erector.
And thanks to Random Factor, I haven't tried it yet, but apparently this toy is really well built for Power Core Icepick to ride. Because Power Core Icepick has that skirt stuff that folds down and apparently clips really solidly onto the seat of this Icepick's vehicle mode.
It'd be crazy if that was intentional.
I'm curious. Oh my God. You can have
recursive ice picking.
Ice pick intercourse. Just like Rekgar intercourse.
Oh dear.
It's fantastic. Lupus, you've got to get ice pick.
Embargo. Embargo.
I'm gonna break your embargo. Aaron, did you get any other Human Alliance dudes or was it just the two?
No, it was just us two.
Okay. Did you get any Deluxes?
Yes, I did.
I forgot which ones you got.
Starscream.
Right. All right. Let's bump up to Deluxe now. Aaron, Starscream, do you have larger Starscreams?
Yeah, I have all the other Starscreams that have
come out. So speaking of someone who has bought all the Starscreams, do you think one should look into the Deluxe one?
Yeah.
That's good to hear. I was curious about that because I was looking at him and he looks neat. I think he looks great in that Deluxe Ironhide way of like shrinking down what was otherwise a larger style of transformation into a Deluxe, but I didn't know if I really want to go for him.
Yeah, he's got a bit of an empty torso in alt mode, or in his robot mode, just because there's not as much meat in there to play with. But
I love playing with meat.
Yeah. But for a Deluxe toy, he does what he does very well, and he pulls off very much the movie Starscream look when it's all said and done. So for $10, he was the Deluxe I decided to buy it on, not another Skids Mud Flap.
Well, I've heard that the Skids and Mud Flap
Bumblebee
toys...
or... Yeah, very well could be, but I'm going to wait until it's
no, I heard,
a little bit
I heard
more
Skids
time.
And Mud Flap are worse.
Oh,
this,
really?
This line around, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Because they're smaller, they're simpler, and they don't, unlike some other guys might, they don't seem to benefit from it. Everyone told me that you should just get the Revenge of the Fallen versions.
Yeah, there's some funky articulation on Skids from what I heard too.
Oh, it's just so weird because I thought they were pretty cool Deluxe toys in Revenge of the Fallen. They were overly complex, but to have that at a Deluxe level, I thought was kind of neat. And I was a little bit bummed that I know a lot of people are like, of course they didn't turn out well. They're the twins, but I'm like, yeah, but you know, they had a good basis to start from in Revenge of the Fallen. I thought.
Yeah, but pulls it off real well. I especially like his mech tech, the way that the two null ray cannons plug into each other to make a massive sword.
That is kind of awesome.
Is neat, and it's and it's nice because it's a mech tech that lets it lock that way.
I was going to ask you about that.
Have Voyager Megatron that we'll talk about later, but you push his mech tech thing, and it's like, look, it's a weird clawed looking cannon, and then you let go of it, and it springs back, and it's just
it can lock the
tanker. It can.
Yeah. It took me a while to figure out how, but it can lock. I'll tell you how when we get there.
But no, it was just I kind of decided that I was going to limit my Dark of the Moon spending. I was going to do like I had in previous lines and gone out first day and went, one of everything, sir.
And, same here.
You know, I think part of it's also just fatigue. I mean, ultimately, we've not only seen these characters before, but we've seen these characters in these modes before.
I'm not even going to say fatigue because I would totally be up for just a stack of toys, but
wait, you want another Camaro Bumblebee?
I would even try it out just if I had the money. I'd be like, whatever. It's got some new engineering. Let's see how it turned out. But I was talking to Gog about this, and you know, it's not going to be impossible to find anything from Wave 1 and Wave 2 of Dark of the Moon down the road. In fact, I would predict Wave 1 and 2 of Dark of the Moon are going to be shelf warming through the holidays in some areas. So there is no rush to get any of this.
I don't know about the holidays. That's quite a ways for Wave 1 and Wave 2.
I'm just thinking. I'm thinking back.
He's talking about that big Independence Day rush.
I'm thinking of back to Revenge of the Fallen and stuff like that, or even Generations right now. Generations Wave 1 is still clogging all over the place over here.
Yeah, I think you can find it if you're dedicated, but I don't know about clogging.
I guess I don't think it's going to be hard at all to find some of this stuff. I think, in fact, some of these Wave 1 and 2 toys are going to become tuner skids and mud flapses for people. Where they're like, I am so sick of seeing Deluxe Ratchet. Or, I'm so sick of seeing Deluxe Crankcase. In which case, I punch him in the face because he can't be sick of seeing Crankcase. But, so you'd say that Deluxe Starscream, though, turned out pretty well.
Turned out well, yeah. If you don't have a Starscream already, it's a good buy. If you like Starscream, it's a good buy. If, I don't know, buy it.
All right. I heard that about Ratchet, too. Which surprised me. Both cases surprised me because they were the least interesting looking deluxes as far as new molds went because they were existing characters. But I hear they are both great. I got Crankcase and I think he's the best deluxe in the whole line, even though I've only played with the one because he has a whole bunch of great paint apps. Even though he has unpainted gray, it's not very common on him. It's just his limbs and they are so sculpted up that they sort of overcome the grayness and have some natural shading to them. But he's got, he's got the black plastic works really well on him, and he has a lot of paint apps on his chest compared to some other toys in the line, from what I've seen, and a lot of paint apps in his face, which really help a lot. Granted, I got one with long middle fingers, so maybe my experience was different, but I love his alt mode, I love his robot mode, and I think his transformation is great. I think he's proportioned marvelously in robot mode. I love that as far as car parts hanging off his body goes, he just has a pair of shoulder pads and a compressed backpack. Everything just folds up into him. His dreadlocks are great, even though mine did rip on the joints. That is one problem, is apparently all the dreadlocks are paint frozen. And since they're soft plastic, it's easier to rip the plastic at the joint than unhinge them from the paint. So downside there. Don't try too hard to pose those dreadlocks. On the other hand, though, they are so bendy that you don't really need to move them on the joint to bend them into positions anyway. His mech tech weapon is good. Crankcase is fantastic. Everyone should get Crankcase. Lupus, I'm going to make you get Crankcase. I just want to say before you have to take off.
I thought you wanted me to get Icepick.
You got
to
get both.
Why?
Because I have both and they're both good. And I think you should get both.
Oh, dear.
And you should get Elite Prime.
Now that's pushing.
Even though that's not in this line.
But seriously, Crankcase is so good. I can't say it enough. But before I continue, Lupus, you do have to take off. It is getting late.
I do. It is way past my bedtime and I'm turning into a pumpkin.
All right. Send me your audio before the weekend.
I shall.
I'm going to say this right here. Right. All right. Take it easy, Lupus.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
What else can I say about Crankcase now? Now that Lupus is gone, I can tell you all about the even cooler parts of Crankcase. Ah, ha, ha, ha. He's still here, isn't he? Yeah. But no, Crankcase. He's just so fully featured. Like the pincers on the truck mode even are so well done. I am enamored with Crankcase. Fantastic deluxe. I just wanted to get him because I like the dreadlocks, and I was pleasantly surprised to have a like in a line where one of the most common complaints I read is there's not enough paint. Like, look at what a lot of people are saying about Roadbuster. Crankcase pulls off a really good look, and he looks like an advance from the Revenge of the Fallen deluxes in every way. I love him.
Okay,
I would highly recommend Crankcase myself. There's a way to identify if he has long fingers or snipped fingers. It has to do with the code on the bottom of the back of the card near the Paramount logo. Mine was 10130, I believe, or 10131. I tweeted the numbers. Someone sent me the numbers in a Twitter message. I don't have them at hand right now, but there is a number you can look up. I'll look it up while we're talking about other stuff to tell whether or not he has the long middle fingers. And I don't know why they would be trimmed, because they are long and pointy, but they're also bendy plastic. And Megatron's fingers are pointier than them and are not bendy plastic. So I don't know what's up there. But I love Crankcase. Omegas, are you going to buy Crankcase? Have I convinced you yet? Tell me if I can.
Yeah, Crankcase is on my list.
Aaron, are you going to get Crankcase? Tell me if I can.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay, good. You should go get Crankcase. Let's move up to Voyagers.
Okay.
Continuing to leave Omegas out, sadly.
But, this is where I wanted to be part of so bad.
Because everyone got Voyager. Everyone on the internet has been getting Voyager Megatron, and with good reason, because he's pretty good, I think. Aaron, what do you think of Voyager Megatron?
I think he's pretty good. I like that his truck mode, actually, the trailer swings back and forth.
It can turn in the middle axis! I don't even know how that works! Like, I was staring at it.
Shifting, sliding bits. I think it's like a double plate type of movement.
It is so smartly designed, that one aspect of it. Like, you have the middle of the truck being able to swivel in order to have the truck bend to turn. That middle of the truck then splits in half to form thighs that solidly stick in place. I don't know how... Like, I'm sure it's actually quite simple how it works. I could probably figure it out later this evening. But to conceptualize that, to me, is amazing. To sit down and actually draw that up from scratch is a remarkable piece of engineering to me. Omegas, what do you think of the fact that his truck can bend?
It is supremely awesome, and now has me even more eager for an updated Motor Master.
Oh, good point. Yeah, it is a piece of engineering that would translate over to Motor Master really well. I hadn't considered that. Aaron, what do you think of, let's talk about the one big thing a lot of people are contentious about on this guy, the rubber cloth bits.
What about them? What's contentious? It's something different.
The contention I am reading is there are a lot of people who are literally just tossing that piece into their junk bin. They're like, I don't want this on the vehicle mode, and I don't want this on the robot mode.
Well, those people are wrong.
Oh, you're drawing a line
in
the sand.
Whoa, that's strong words.
No, I think it's a super interesting feature that, I mean, the fact that it integrates so well between all the modes is, I'm far away from the mic fiddling with a toy here. I mean, it's just great the way that it plugs in on his head and goes over his shoulder like a poncho.
What's so fantastic about the robot mode integration is that tab that you slide into the thing near his shoulder to lock it in place. That is what makes it work, because then without that in place, it would have been a real rickety thing, I think. And the fact that you can just lock it down means that it stays there. And that's what really sticks out to me.
Yeah. Really, the only problem I have with Megatron, and I believe it's a my case only, is his windshield.
Yep.
The driver's side windshield was improperly installed.
In fact, it was properly installed. I read up on that because mine is sticking out too. And a lot of people's are sticking out. And someone got a picture of the actual vehicle from the set. And that is just what that truck is like.
Oh.
I don't understand why it's like that. But
the darn thing is, it's like the inside of the windshield is popped out like that too. So I thought it was just bad installation.
And, no, so did
and
I.
Quite honestly, I'll admit I don't dig through a lot of the feedback threads.
I hit up the feedback thread right away because it was just such an odd thing that I was like, this surely cannot be just mine. And I went, okay. I went looking in there, and I'd even started to take an X-Acto to try to loosen the connection to pop it out and shove it back in.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that is just what the truck on set is like. So who knew? One last thing on the rubber too, that tarp, I love that it is cut not only to fit nicely on the back of the vehicle, but to wrap around and keep the MechTech port on the top open.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Did you also see the hood ornament on the front?
The little tiny dog?
Yep.
Yeah. It's a Mack truck. That's what goes on the front of a Mack truck.
Apparently a lot of people break that off by accident. Because when
I can see how.
Yeah, when you rotate the grill, it becomes hella close to that little dog, and that little dog is a little nub of plastic sticking up. It's very easy to snap off. Some people said that they didn't even know it was there until they heard it clatter to the ground. Omegas, be careful with that when you get the toy.
Noted.
Yeah, the robot mode, I have read some complaints about all the Voyagers, not just Megatron, that the robot modes are small. They are smaller than they used to be, but I think it really works on Megatron, because despite being perhaps shorter than you might want, he is proportioned in a way where I feel his size does not really mess with how I'm digging him. Some people said he has a pinhead. I can't argue that his head is kind of small, but I think it's small in that kind of like super robot way. So I don't really mind it. And, yeah. And he looks so angry. I love how they pulled off his whole look, like with the shoulders. And then like, some people said he has no outward shoulder motion. I felt that his transformation joint made an outward shoulder joint in a way when he's not holding a gun. And you have his shoulders out a little bit, then his arms hooked down and just turn his hip a little bit, have him glare downwards with that ball-jointed neck, and he's like the business.
Messed up eye.
Yeah, and that thing light pipes hardcore. Like, I am super into this toy. Easily Voyager of Wave 1 for me. Aaron, any other thoughts on him yourself?
No, that's a good coverage of it. So how do you lock the thing in place?
Right, okay. Take your MechTech Megatron thing. You know when you push it forward, right? Like, you don't want to have your finger all the way... You want to have your finger on, like, the MechTech port on the top?
Mm-hmm.
So you push it forwards, then hold it together, push that button in farther, and then swivel it to the right, like clockwise.
So you push it forward, and then...
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't swivel at all when you're all the way out. That's something that could be easily... Oh, I guess it is cut a little bit differently in there, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you for being on directions.
No problem. It took me...
No, I was talking to Hasbro.
Oh.
You know, having that in the directions for the play.
Oh, don't thank me at all, then. I'll just be over here.
No.
No one cares. No. So yeah, that is a somewhat undocumented feature, but the moment I said I got the toy, I got like 5 Twitter messages at least saying, you can lock the MechTech port open. I was like, all right. Thank you.
No, I got it. It's in the cart right now. I haven't bought it. Okay, thanks.
But that does really help, because that's a MechTech weapon that I think looks good both ways, but you'd want to have it locked open with that claw deal on the front. Yeah.
No, I just really like the way that even his shoulder bits stick out of his duster poncho thing.
Yeah.
It's very good. His messed up eye gets covered by the tarp.
Perfectly. Perfectly covered by the tarp.
It's like they meant it to.
Yeah. Omegas, do you have this toy yet?
Quiet.
We're trying to convince you to buy him.
No, he's on my list. He's just not in my area.
I know. I'm harassing you.
Well, then hit up more stores. What are you doing right now? You can be walking.
Also, I want to throw it out there. A lot of people said this Megatron is...
Right now, I'm playing Zelda on my DS as I wait for you to stop bragging about your Dark of the Moon.
I wanted to throw out there that a lot of people say this guy is not very painted, and I feel that is legit on the gray bits, but all of his olive parts, at least on mine, have, on like the chest and the thighs, some kind of very light silver overspray that gives them the shininess.
I'm not sure if that's overspray or that's maybe in the... plastic or like a clear coat or something. There's something there that makes it more than just tan.
It's something that really helps out, because I was ready for this guy to be a big wall of Hasbro gray, and I honestly do not feel he is that. I know that there are many who disagree, but I felt that as far as just the color goes, he was actually a lot more satisfying than I had been led to believe. So, felt it needed to be said. That's all I got for this guy. Now, Aaron did get a leader toy.
Yeah.
And Aaron got a leader toy that everyone but him loves. Actually, there's a lot of people who agree with you about him, but...
I
did have a message that I believe... I wasn't asked to say this, but I did want to bring it up myself after our discussion. So I was going to ask you, with Sentinel Prime, how is the truck to robot?
Truck to robot's not bad. It's robot to truck that's got an issue.
Isn't that what we had going on before?
Yeah.
And didn't that issue just kind of sort itself out after you transformed it a few times?
Yeah, the issue that I have here is the fact that his arms in his alt mode actually end up in the middle of his shins. And by the middle of his shins, I mean you have to open up two parts of the shin and jam his arm down in there.
You see, I think that's fantastic myself.
It's neat in concept, but it's something that doesn't really show up very well in the instructions.
Well, that's something though.
It's one of those things where, you know, it went through the 8 steps of how to twist his arm this way, pull the shoulder up, rotate the shoulder joint 90 degrees, twist the elbow 90 degrees, rotate the shoulder joint 90 degrees, and then he jams his forearm in his leg.
You see, I would argue that that's more so just the case of what happened on Revenge of the Fallen Prime, where the printed instructions were just not of any use, and you had to go to see, you know, you had to read threads and watch videos to see how to transform the toy.
Yeah.
I'd say that's probably just the case with Sentinel Prime, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that could be. It's just, it was difficult to catch what was going on in the instructions, and it was something that was just completely odd that, you know, when before have we had a toy that had had the legs open up inside of everything to have the arms go into? It's not a normal thing, and to not explicitly or have a call out tag of, no, it goes inside of here and this needs to click into this. That way it makes a little bit more sense as to what's going on than just the kind of pulled back pictures. I don't know. Plus, it comes with like a 11x17 sheet of instructions as well.
Yeah, I just think it just comes down to the whole thing of, you know, how do we get instructions to work right on these intricate toys?
And
it's that ongoing battle. But I don't know what I mean. That sounds less like a fault of the toy and more like a fault of the instructions to me.
Yeah. Plus, the other thing is, after getting all that lined up, it kind of had some of the Masterpiece Rodimus issue of, I think that the right leg and right arm, there's a tab on the arm that's supposed to go into a slot on the leg piece, and he's got solid clicky ratchet joints. I mean, you know, it's all very... very audio porn here for you. And it seems like in between that there's, I need to have like a half click point to get it to line up, because that kicks one little thing out of alignment a little bit that keeps the side panel from lining up perfectly, which keeps the top from clicking down in all the way. So it's something that just ends up popped up some, and his side doesn't close up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, when it's the leader, it's you're paying more to get more, and it would be nice to have a clean alt mode. It could just be that I'm missing something in there, and I'm not going to say that this toy is no good whatsoever, but...
I don't know. I'm just thinking that you need more to spend more time with it, because I heard from some people who do like the toy very much that they had the same problems, and
it took
a day or two, and then they...
It very well could be, and I'm not going to say that I am the do-all, end-all here, but I am.
Damn.
Now, one other neat thing is he does have many rivet joints and screw joints and whatnot that will fit the standard peg size.
So you can mech-tech him up the wazoo.
So you can mech-tech on his shoulders, on the back of his arms, his hands. The one rough thing I did find with What's our three-wheeled motorcycle friend's name?
Backfire.
Backfire. He did not want to go into Sentinel's hand. Worth anything. Sentinel has a thumb that sticks up over the peg hole.
Mm-hmm.
And the peg is not deep enough to stay up above it. So I actually had to rotate his hand around so that his thumb was on the bottom. And he was holding the gun backwards, if that makes sense. With the bottom of his hand instead of the top of his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
To get that to hold, and even then his bicep swivel was enough that it would not stay up. So, for the intent that's in there, there needs to be some, you know, if you're going to have hard ratchets on everything else, it's like that was odd that the one thing to hold his arm up with a heavy weapon is not strong enough to hold his arm up with a heavy weapon.
Hmm.
But...
I just want to chime in, by the way, I do have now the codes if you do want to get a crankcase and check to see if he has the proper thumb or not. You'll want to look on the code on the very bottom of the back of the card next to the Paramount symbol. The code on mine was 10131. I was told by Zion underscore Zion 14 on Twitter that codes up to 10561 have it uncut, and codes starting with 10601 onwards have it cut. So try to find a crankcase whose code starts with a number lower than 106, blah, blah. And he should have a long middle finger. So, just so you know, because there is, you actually have to transform the front of the toy to even check to see what his fingers look like.
You can find the right angle in the
There's no way.
In package.
And those giant shrapnel style pincer things also cover it up in vehicle mode. So, you have to buy the toy and open it to actually check that. So that's the code on the back. Again, any code from 10601 onwards has cut fingers. Any code before that should have uncut fingers. 10561 and below should have uncut fingers. So hope that helps you guys out. And, man, we did talk a whole lot about... Did you get any other Transformers this week?
No, that's all of my Transformers for this week.
Dark of the Moon, man. It's launch week. And I specifically also tried to only buy one of each size class until I got to Cyberverse, so that I would actually have stuff to buy if I'm walking around town, and I could stretch out my purchases a bit, and that way I could also stretch out how much I can bring to what we got this week. So there you go. I might have another Dark of the Moon toy next week to talk about. We could quickly talk about our off-topic stuff, although we went long on the Dark of the Moon thing, so I'd like to hammer through this if we're going to do it at all.
Hello?
Did you get other Transformers?
Not all of... yeah.
Oh! You should have said something. I thought we were all done with Transformers. All right, what else did you get?
No, see, this is where I say I don't need your Dark of the Moon stuff. Of course, mine has just been basically playing catch-up, unfortunately.
Still, that's something.
Caught up on power cores, picked up Leadfoot and Ice Pick.
Okay, so you have that one Ice Pick, you're gonna get the other one, right?
Probably. It's one of the ones I like more out of that set.
You gotta get the other Ice Pick, so you can have your Ice Pick on Ice Pick, you know. I almost said a dirty word.
My Ice Pick on Ice Pick, your Ice Pick on Ice Pick.
You can add your own twist to it. You can go like one of them's the pizza delivery boy.
Sure, why not? Got the hands for it, but also picked up the Dinobots and the Constructicons.
How are you finding them?
Honestly, I find the Dinobots a tad overhyped.
I would actually agree that I think they got overhyped a little bit, because they are, to me, very solid toys, but I think some folks might have been heaping a little too much praise on them. Like, a lot of folks like Gog and myself and everyone, I think a lot of us were kind of like, you know, hey, it's Dino Pope. It's crazy. You know, it's neat.
Oh, yeah.
But there were some folks who were, I think, maybe getting a little too heavy into it. I just felt they were a fabulous ender to Power Core, but that does not necessarily mean this most solid toy in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice variety for Power Core. It's nice that they have one that has a unified color scheme. Grimstone himself, I find a little limited, unfortunately.
He does definitely have a syndrome of kind of being like a big ball of parts that stay a ball of parts when he's not a torso.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just lots of parts gathered too close together, unfortunately. But no, he's nice on his own. Constructicons, I would say, are far better.
I love the Constructicons.
That's my validator for the Power Core line.
Well, I actually thought that a lot of folks were underselling the Constructicons in light of, you know, everyone jumping on Dino Pope. It felt like Steamhammer was getting kind of forgotten in that mix, and I thought the Constructicons pulled off this great thing of just the combined mode not feeling like a powered up version of the little robot, but feeling like a full on combined mode.
Right. And there's one little element that actually helps them a lot, which are thumbs.
Yeah. Totally.
Where it's not just shrapnel hanging off in the shape of a hand. It actually looks like a hand now.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely helps. See, what else did I grab? Because I'm trying to rush through this now because we've gone so long. see, what else? Finally got around to getting Insecticon.
Hey!
And he's got articulation. Yeah, I don't know why. For a long time, I couldn't find him around here, and by the time I could, I went, nah, I've lived this long without him.
Do you feel, I always felt with him he was kind of neat in that he felt like, in my whole thing of every scout serving a purpose, it felt like his unique purpose was he was kind of like, I'm the throwback to all the basic Beast Wars toys. In that I am made of ball joints.
Something like that, yeah. It's just, he's nice in a very creepy way. It's robot mode where basically blades come from everywhere.
Yeah, totally.
They're all on ball joints.
Yeah, he feels like the ancestor of every single basic insect Beast War toy to me. For better or for worse, mm-hmm. for some people, because it does mean his arms, they don't really have anywhere to go. They're all just kind of chilling out, but it works on him, I think. I don't know how you're taking it.
Yep. Yeah. It works. It works for me. It's very rare we get a forearm transformer. I kind of dig that. And by rare, I mean there's one other.
Optimus Minor.
He doesn't count. He has four half arms.
That's true.
Okay, let's see what else. Lugnut.
Oh, you didn't have Lugnut yet?
No.
I could have sworn you had him.
Dude,
why not?
This is my area. Welcome to it.
After all,
I have to wait till the lines are.
Sorry. After all the hype and bluster, I was wanting to know how do you feel about him now you have him in hand?
He's better than I was afraid of.
So you didn't feel all the hype damaged him at all. You felt like it was
no,
on the ball.
The hype was fine. The hype was worth it. I love how they've engineered, because they do these jumbo jet transformers every now and then, but they never know what to do with the wings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thrilled they actually figured out how to work the wings into the arms. But it's Lugnut. It works. It's a great upgrade. It's a great like more typical take on the animated design. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm upset with myself that I didn't pick him up sooner. Like, I had to go out of my way to order this one, but still.
Yeah, I think he's a fantastic toy. I was just curious, like, because it's been so long since his train kind of came and went. I was wondering how you'd find him in the hindsight of all of it.
Yeah, he's not overhyped. I'm thoroughly happy, despite the hype.
Really happy with the hype. It did not lie
with
to
hype.
Me.
Mm-hmm. See, I got Wind Charger.
Hey,
welcome to the game.
Now you're in the high roller seats.
Once again, this is basically me going, why did any of these lines get cut short? Because all of these are really good.
Like I've said before, it always seems like that last wave is like the, wow, that's really awesome, and it's not going anywhere. Okay.
Yeah, it's that thing I mentioned before of like, it would be so neat if every toy line got one wave after its last wave, just to see what would happen, because, you know, animated Rodimus, Power Core Constructicons, Wind Charger, just all off the top of my head, as wonderful line enders that could have gone on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know what was going to be the next scout anyway. That was Rumble we never got.
I have the next scout.
Yeah. Quiet.
Do-do-do.
This is what I wish they did with the mini-bots. I mean, the legends are great. Love them. I really wish they had done more scouts like this in classic style.
Yeah, I think he summarily trumps all the mini-bot legends myself. It's
Yeah. And at this point, do we have mini-bots at all size scales now? We're just missing a leader now?
I think so. We've had yeah. Ultras.
Well, no. Thanks to Bumblebee, we kind of scale up on all of them, don't we?
I don't know if he counts anymore. Because if we're going to say Bumblebee, then yes, we have them at every single price point. But
yeah.
Mostly from a different Bumblebee.
Yeah, that's true. But he's an awesome toy. He's again, not overhyped. He's, like, I traded for him. I didn't pay for a ridiculous amount, so.
Yeah, I think if you're going to pay $30 for him, he is going to be disappointing myself.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, if you can trade, because postage is so much easier than paying out for this guy.
Mm.
And finishing off my Transformers, because we'll be getting, I'll have to mention his name again when we get through the off-topic stuff. A guy named Whackbag Chaos on YouTube.
The best name.
His name. Dude is awesome. Part one of the box from him, we're all three G1 Omnibots.
Very cool.
Nice.
I like those toys a lot.
They are kind of the original Stealth Force.
Yeah. They were, and I'm trying to remember the history on them. Like, they were carryover toys from one of the Transformer predecessor lines. And they all had that very unique aesthetic about them.
Well, it's not so much a unique aesthetic, because I can see a lot of other toys in Downshift and Overdrive especially.
Hmm.
You know, because you've got, okay, you know, Overdrive essentially, or Downshift essentially looks like Wheeljack, which is appropriate for how often they switch places in the last few years. Overdrive is like a mini, like, Sideswiper Prowl. And he's got that same look and style going on. They're just too small. They're in that in-between area. You know, they're in between mini-bot and normal retail toy. So where I can understand that maybe these wouldn't have made it to a shelf.
Yeah. And they had a lot of, I recall, they had a lot of cool accessory stuff on them as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, aside from all the flip-out guns that they have,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome, we also have Overdrive with the flight mode before Trax ever did it.
Yep.
Right.
That was my Sideswipe toy when I was a kid.
I remember that. It was like a vague, okay, we have a red sports car Transformer. Let's just call it Sideswipe.
I always thought he was Sideswipe when I was a kid. Little. Yeah, I was like, this must be Sideswipe.
He kind of looks like Sideswipe.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That is Sideswipe. You're crazy.
Yeah, it almost works. Okay, you can move on to your off-topic now.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm thinking for off-topic, maybe we should just, let's just hard list it. Let's not linger too long on any of this stuff, because we're running long now, which is going to be hard for me, because I actually have a bunch of stuff in transit arrived at the same time, so I'm going to hard list it hardcore. But first up, let's do Aaron first. Aaron, what did you get those off-topic?
Yeah, okay, so my birthday was yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Uh-oh. Keep talking. Yeah, happy birthday to you.
So across three or four Aaron, sets of grandparents, aunts and uncles, whatnot, I got checks and cash and whatnot. So, yay. Thanks, family, for skipping out. Or what? No. Hard to decide what a grown person's going to want for a birthday.
Toys!
Yeah. So from my brother, he had an excellent card. He and I have been like little brother and big brother, or big brother and little brother, however you want to go. Always pestered each other, and his card was to that effect and very funny. And he got me Microsoft points.
Nice.
I couldn't quite get the card to work for a while, and I have no idea why, but it finally worked this morning. And then my wife got me a Chicago cutlery knife set, so a couple of kitchen knives and some steak knives. that are good knives that are going to stay sharp and not the cheap serrated knives.
That
they're good for a cheap, like $40, here's a whole bunch of knives, knife set, but these are high quality. The type of knives that you sharpen before and after you use them to keep a very sharp edge on them and keep them working very well.
I did have a very poor taste line I was going to draw, but at least you didn't get given a PSN card, but I don't think that's going
to... Well, it's back up. I finally actually was able to log in
store,
PSN.
Is the store up, though?
The store's not up yet.
Yeah, exactly. I still but can't I get was... that thing I bought last month.
Yeah, well, you're going to get a free game or two or something now.
That is true. That is true.
But no, I was able to get in there and finally get my Steam connected, even though I've gone through and gotten all of the... single player achievements.
Director's commentary playthrough.
And I still have that one to do.
Yeah.
But I got all the single player achievements for the 360 in the course of waiting around. And I've started a co-op run so people don't hit me up saying, hey, do co-op with me so I can get the free achievement. But, yeah. That's it for me.
All right. Omegas, what about you? What was your off? Tell me what this. I completely forgot his name. What did King Box and Whack and Snicker get you? What was
his? Whack Bag Chaos.
Whack Bag Chaos. Yes, that's a Shattered Glass name. Box and Whack and Snicker.
The first. There are two giants he sent me. The first being the 97 reissue of the original Voltron.
Oh, I have that. I bought that in 97, I think.
Nice.
That is the best Voltron.
Oh, yeah. I used to have the original as a kid, and now I have, like, bits of half of it now.
That reissue was the best because it was just a gigantic, heavy, whack of diecast and accessories in styrofoam, and they're like, here, play with it.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Just don't kill anyone while you're at it.
It came with like 16 and a half accessories out of the 17. Because unfortunately, one of the guns has like two little wings that are missing.
Oh, pfft.
But oh my god, there's this big pile of chrome laying in front of him.
Yeah, and I never knew until I got that toy that there were even accessories for the lions. I was like, oh man, what is all this stuff? The lions have things?
Yeah, I found out later that they actually sold those individually for the original issue.
Oh, man.
And then after... Yeah, and then for this reissue, they just threw them all in the box. Go, here, have them.
That was such a good reissue. I always... Anytime that comes up, I'm like, yeah, that is a good toy. No matter what you think of toys, that is a good toy to buy.
Oh, yeah. It's just... it's my childhood come back. You know, this is the thing I used to play with all the time, and now it's here again.
That's so good. I didn't mean to linger on that one, but that's Voltron.
Uh-huh.
Deal with it.
The other one he sent never had anything from this toy line before, but this is a hell of a one to start with. The Robotech SDF-1.
Which one? There's a whole bunch.
It's as big as Voltron.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, it is. And that is without like the giant pylons beside his head.
Man, how are you finding it?
Battleship mode is quite awesome. I love any interstellar battleship. It's a funky kind of aesthetic. I will give it that. He's got articulation. He's got better articulation than most in his day. The shoulders move out. They move outward. They move up and back. The elbows. And there are swivels under the elbows.
Mm-hmm.
And the strangest thing, you can pose him taking a step.
Oh, that's kind
of... His feet actually swivel back and forth, and his hips move back and forth just enough to make him step forward.
You have to do a video about that now.
I got to do something for it. I mean, the guy was awesome sending it to me in the first place. It's obvious he kind of loved this one a lot as a kid, because there's
tooth
like
marks.
Little custom paints. not tooth marks. Little custom paint everywhere on him. Or where he tried to spice it up a little bit. He's kind of a fixer-upper right now. I need to tighten up some joints and clean up some stickers and such.
Oh, very awesome.
But, oh my god, yeah.
Was there anything else in the box, or was it really the giants as the bulk?
The giants and the Omnibots, but, oh my god, it's rare I get a box that epic.
Man. Video all of it right now while we're podcasting.
Not while we're podcasting.
New style of video. Did you get anything else off topic this week?
Yeah, Bugman stuff.
Oh, so did I. I'm almost just condensing it down to Bugman stuff at this point.
Yeah. Three Gashapon medals.
Mm-hmm.
My first ones, Kintaros, Hyper, Kabuto, and Cheetah, which gives me Candy, Capsule, and DX Cheetah. So now my scanner can go Cheetah, Cheetah, Cheetah.
Hooray!
Nice.
It just amuses me. I bought it for just that. And six more Dopant memories came in.
Oh, right.
Which were...
The Common Grappler Hall. Is that
the name? The Common Grappler Hall. Edge, Dummy, Sweets, Ice Age, Anomalocars, and Cockroach, because I was just going for color at that point.
Mm-hmm. And Cockroaches. But
I like it because I have energy and Edge and Anomalocars, Cockroach, and I've already got Ocean pre-ordered, which means, when I am done with these things, I will have all of them from the final episode.
Hey!
That's cool. Kind of a nice little touch.
That's a good thing to aim for, I think. I got all of them.
Oh. Yeah. I know you did.
I'm still feeling the pain of spending all that. Did you get anything else?
No, that is my haul.
All right, I'm going to run mine pretty fast. Everyone who buys Japanese toys felt the pain in April, and so my April showed up. Although, the one thing from April that didn't show up, which shipped with everything else, was that little set of candy toy things that I'm going to be bringing to BotCon to sell to Aaron. That did not actually show
up yet.
That's the one thing that hasn't shown up yet.
It's got like a week to show up.
I know, and it better get here before BotCon, or I'm going to throw something. But I got a whack of Fig Arts, some more O's ones. I got to say, though, I just want to throw out here, New Deno is from the future, and he has the best ankles ever. And Garo is great, and I am so happy there is finally a good, solid, affordable Garo toy that does not either feel like it's going to break or is really huge. Just a nice 6-inch desk-scaled Garo. It's fantastic. I also got a Candroid that turns into a Triceratops. It's great. Turns inside out. And I got D-Art's Rockman X, who is really cool.
Damn.
Okay.
I think he is...
Mine was supposed to be here today.
You're going to like it. I heard that some people might have, one or two people at least, had a little problem with the head. I'd say once you get him, immediately pop apart the head to make sure everything's working in there. Mine is, though, and I think he's fantastic. Really well done joints. They move super smooth. Whatever was going on with Fig Arts, where it seemed like everything from the knees down was getting a little bit wonky for a little while, it's done. All the toys have gotten much better. I got Sagozo and Laterata Fig Arts that I haven't even opened yet, but people told me they are far and away more solid in construction than the other O's ones, so it's fantastic. Also, got two more World War Robot portable toys. I got an Armstrong and another Large Martin. I'll just leave it at that because that's the discussion I'm having with Seth. I have more than he does right now. And I got another art. This is something I might stretch a little bit here, but when I was talking about 3A toys, when Seth was more specifically, and I was getting all interested in it, I got a PM on TFW from a fellow called Nice Stuff, who is a guy who does a whole lot of customizing in another art toy line or artist driven indie toy line called Glios, or Glios, as it's actually properly pronounced, Glyos. It's something that's driven by an artist named Matt Doty. Of O'Neill Designs. It's basically he and his wife are the entire company, pretty much. They get these things made in China, but then they personally, like Matt personally, with I think maybe a couple friends, goes over everything that comes in his garage before he sells these things. They are very retro-styled, and I was never really super interested in them because they weren't all that poseable, and that is one of my things. I like poseable toys. And what Nice Stuff did is that he, in the same PM, said, by the way, these aren't that poseable, but they have a new thing called the Axis Joint System. And I was like, wait, what? And I have this picture that shows, on the right-hand side is what a normal Glios guy looks like, and then the two to the left have had Axis joints added to the figure. And suddenly the line looked really cool to me, so I ordered a whole bunch, because the shipping to Canada was kind of expensive. They are really cool. It's hard to describe them in an audio format. I'm going to have some videos up sometime to make this clearer. But big thanks to Nice Stuff for letting me know about this. I also ordered some stuff from sister line to this, which uses the same technology, because this figure technology is based on the idea that every single part, like these figures, can be fully disassembled and then put reassembled with different parts depending on what you want to do. It's kind of like a build system, and it is making the rounds to the point where the Four Horsemen. Do you know the Four Horsemen of He-Man?
Yeah,
and
whatnot? I've heard of them.
They're doing a line called the Outer Spacemen, which is using Glios joints, like literally using the Glios system, or Glios system. I keep saying Glios now. It's using the Glios system for the joints on those figures, which are some retro-styled Spaceman figures. So this is starting to make the rounds. It's all done in, you know, it's done in-house by basically the artist, so it is all somewhat limited run, but the prices are really great. I felt like for an unpainted, the guy on the right there, a Gen Drone, who is a pretty fully featured figure. It has a backpack that you can use to enhance the toy, and comes with multiple heads that can double as backpack parts. It's like $4 for one of those. And they're about 3 or 4 inches tall. An Axis joint set is like $4. Everything is like $3 or $4 pretty much. And I thought that was pretty fantastic. There's a sister line, though, called Colgrim, which uses the same system and is done. It's kind of in the same quote-unquote universe. And so I got a Colgrim as well, because they had the Colgrim shop is the only place right now where you can get one of the larger vinyl Glios figures, which is called an Armadoc, which I'm sending a picture to you guys of now. I got one of each of the Armadocs on Colgrim's site, because I heard that they were just really cool, and they are far more vinyl-ish, but they're made of multiple components. Every single connecting point is a swivel joint, and they are fully quote unquote panel lined. Like, not like there's panels on them, but every single groove has had a somewhat careful paint application done.
Yeah, makes that detail pop.
Yeah, and you can pull them apart, because they're vinyl. They are very durable vinyl. I thought I was going to rip it in half when I was trying to pull it apart, and I read up, and I was assured, like, no, you can pull them in half and reconnect them in whatever you want to do, and you totally can. And there are some crazy builds done by even Matt Doty himself, of, like, taking three Armadocs of the same color and then just smacking them together in the shape of, like, crazy Hydra creatures. It's a really fun little line. I'm going to do some video coverage of it to better explain it, but I wanted to throw some shouts out because I kind of got into it because of this podcast and someone listening to it. So thank you. Nice stuff. That's my off topicing. So pretty good record time, I think. Phew. Let's end on some listener questions. What do you guys think? If you say no, I'm going to disagree with you. So, we're going to do a couple listener questions. First listener question is from Updated Dude. Who sent this in late January. He says, "Hello, esteemed podcasters and edit monkey evangelists. I am a listener, and here are my questions." I just want to throw out there that just because I am derived from the Latin term for monkey, homo... what are they called? Aaron? What are they? Because we're Homo sapiens. Are monkeys Homo sapiens as well?
No.
I didn't think so. Mm-hmm. But they're related, right? Like they're Homo monkeyan. Monkey sapien. Sapien monkeydomus.
You can read the question now.
Yeah. Monkey.
They're dehedron. Like chimpanzees or pan? So, like, Wikipedia says Pandruglitis.
Okay, I'm going back to Zelda now.
Is the common chimpanzee.
Non-neutronium fluid. All right, we're back in the question now. Question one. Question with a long setup. Due to the constant time traveling by Evangelist to put in disclaimers, apologies, or to reconverse with podcasters in the past, the time stream around Transformers has been fractured. As a result, prior to 2007, Takara was bought out by Bandai, instead becoming Takara Tomy. This gave Bandai access to all the molds, but not the coloration or characters that Takara has ever done, in such as Ryu Kendo, Webdiver, and every Transformer prior to 2007's movie. In 2007, Hasbro went on to the live-action movie, and Transformers became a huge hit. In this universe, you podcasters are money-grubbing Bandai execs who decide to cash in on the success of Transformers. You decide to produce a new TV series using redecos of the Takara molds you've acquired. What concept for the TV series would you choose? Which toys would you re-release? And what would their decos and new characters, names, and bios be? Omegas, you go first.
Well, I'm a greedy money grubbing Bandai exec, so everything's gonna be painted like the original Gundam.
Yep.
That's pretty much what it is. I'll just take random molds from Armada, Cybertron, Energon. I'll just throw them together and put in a bunch of angsty teens to drive them.
But what would the character names and bios be?
They wouldn't have character names and bios. They just have angst.
No. Oh. Would they all look somewhat effeminate?
Of course.
Fantastic. Aaron, what is your answer to this question?
I'm thinking Car Robots 2010. Mm. Just completely redo everything from the original Car Robots and maybe spice it up a touch with, I don't know, something else. I don't know.
Well, I'd say that to reinvent the line, seeing how I'm a money-grubbing Bandai exec, I'd say the last thing we should use is Transformers to do a Transformers line, because everyone already bought those Transformers. So let's do Ryukendo and Webdiver and whatnot, and we'll just smack them all together into a new Transformers line where the Transformers are humans who transform into armored dudes who use vehicles. And that is the concept of the TV show. It is Transformers Done Right is what the TV show is going to be called. And there are going to be no sentient robots in it whatsoever, because who on earth connects as an audience member with a sentient robot? They're all going to be piloted. And all the toys will be of the lowest price point, because you don't need articulation to sell toys. Don't you know what we do here at Bandai? That sounded a lot more jaded than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I have a question. Is Done Right spelled D-U-N-R-I-T-E?
Yeah, Transformers Done Right.
Okay.
And the hero is Done Right Prime. Because we're gonna stretch the names across everything. Every single Transformer is just called Done Right with a different suffix. Done Right Medic, Done Right Gunner, Done Right Prime.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you. Question number two. Do your family and friends also collect? If so, what do some of them collect? And have you infected anyone with the Transformers collector virus? Thank you for the great work, guys. I hope the podcast will continue for quite some. That's where the sentence ends. There's even a period. So, Omegas, family and friends, do they collect? Have you infected them? Have you coughed all over their faces and gone like, half my box?
Most family and friends fear what, you know, the wall of plastic in my room.
Ah.
So unfortunately, no. I take that back. I've got one friend in Canada who started becoming a Mega Man collector just because, oh hey, toy collecting, it works.
It's a great term.
And yeah, and I do have a few. I do have a few friends that got hooked on the Bug Men.
Yeah.
Thanks to me.
That has occurred.
Yeah. Of course, I also get people who desperately hate me for getting them hooked on that too, so it works both ways.
That hate will make you live forever. That's what I tell myself. Aaron, what about you?
I have friends that I've met through Transformers.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. My brother occasionally will pick up something. If he likes the alt mode more than anything else, but no, I don't believe that I have actively infected anybody to be a Transformers collector.
Hmm. My mom buys herself Transformers sometimes, and then gets really worked up because she can't transform them, and then starts complaining and says that it's really stupid that the instructions are so crappy, and then wonders how kids can possibly use any of that stuff, and then has a pile of them sitting on her desk. It is because of my mom that I'm into Transformers, because she thought they looked neat when I was an infant, and she still thinks they tend to look neat now. So that's my little story. It's fun watching her try to transform Legends RC.
Don't doubt it.
She can do it, but she gets really stressed out while she's doing it. I say that, of course, with full love and familial generosity and whatnot.
Just realized that she listens to the podcast, didn't you?
Nah, she doesn't listen to my podcast. She hates my podcast. I don't know. She still hasn't opened up that reissue Silver Streak she got. Boardwise was sending her a message on Twitter about that when I brought up her Twitter thing on her birthday. He's like, you should open that Silver Streak that you got a balk on. She still hasn't opened it up. I check on this now and then. I'm like, you opened your Silver Streak? No.
How ungrateful.
Our next listener question comes from Berserk2112. 100 years after the end of the world. He says, hello, TFW podcastians. In the vast varieties of alt modes in the Transformers toy lines, which do you like the best and which Transformers are your favorite for said alt mode? For example, I am a sucker for tank alt modes, and Revenge of the Fallen, Bludgeon, Armada Megatron, and G2 Megatron are my favorite tanks. Love the podcast! !! All caps, end question! Side note, colon, love your videos too. Thank you, Berserk2112. Omegas, how do you answer the question?
See. I think my favorite alt mode would be soda cans, but that doesn't come up very often.
Long toy line!
There have been transforming soda cans, though.
In Transformers?
Not in Transformers, but I have seen them.
Wrong toy line.
Okay. For some reason, motorcycles and dragons.
I would not argue with it. What about a motorcycle dragon?
Oh my god.
Did you know there is a motorcycle dragon, but it's not the right toy line?
I've seen motorcycle dragons. Transform, though.
In Transformers, though?
Not in Transformers,
There is a transforming motorcycle dragon out there, but it's not Transformers.
Of course not.
But what's your favorite motorcycle? What's your favorite dragon?
Favorite motorcycle, and maybe this is just because it's one of the newer ones, was Chopster.
That's a good motorcycle.
Yeah, he's demented. I love him. Blades for hands. He doesn't need to hold anybody. Favorite dragon? That's the hard one.
I was about to say there couldn't have been that many dragons, but I just realized there were a bunch of
dragons.
There's
not that many.
Like, there's...
Oh, yeah. There's been a ton of dragons. A lot of Megatrons ended up that way.
And there's a lot of dragons, which I keep forgetting are dragons, like that Minicon dragon.
Yeah, Minicon dragon is also a dragon.
Yeah.
Congratulations. What is his name? The G1... God.
Snapdragon?
Yeah.
The Monstercon? Or...
No, not the Monstercon. The Autobot. The Monsterbot.
Or sorry, that's what I mean. The Monsterbot. Wasn't that Snapdragon?
Yeah. That wasn't... No, that's not Snapdragon.
Oh, no, Snapdragon! Yeah, sorry, that's Terracon.
Yeah.
He's the two-headed dragon one, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking there's a double in the name.
Double. Oh, it's going to bother me. I'm going to look it up.
Double.
Why do you like him? Whatever his name
double
is.
Cross.
Double Cross.
Double Cross.
He's the one I got for free out of a hoarder's house a while back.
I get him free, too.
I don't have one.
Number one, I just like the design. It works for me. Number two, he gets to be a lot more articulate than a G1 normally gets. And I just love the name Double Cross for an Autobot. It just makes me think he's up to something.
All right. Aaron, what about you? What is your favorite alt mode, and what's an example of it?
I think I gravitate more towards airplanes, especially historic things. See Ransack and Hardhead. Why did I just pull a blank on it? Twin propeller.
Highbrow.
Highbrow.
You only spent an hour talking about highbrow.
Yeah. Look, it's well after midnight. My brain's starting to shut down here. But I especially like that because it's different than what you normally get of, hey, look, it's a car.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of one for myself. I think at the end of the day, I like a lot of strange alt modes, but if I'm going to call something where I can even name more than one toy that has it, honestly, it would be sports cars. I really like sports cars like Knockout in Transformers Prime. What would you call that kind of sports? Is that a sports car, or is that just like a...
That's a sports car.
Yeah, a sports car.
Two-door sedan.
Yeah, I like those vaguely civilian, really nice sports car-y designs. Something about them that I find really pleasing when they turn into robots. I think that's kind of why I really liked the Revenge of the Fallen Scout. Revenge of the Fallen Scout. Dead End / Laserbeak / all those other names he used to have. Detour. Yeah. That's kind of why I liked him too. There's that alt mode, when it turns into a decent robot and folds up really well into the car mode, there's something aesthetically pleasing about that to me. So that's, aside from the fact that I adore his character, that's also a reason why I am really hoping we get to see a Knockout Transformers Prime toy at BotCon. There's a lot of things about that I could really get into. So I hope that answered your question, Berserk 2112, and I think that just about does it for us. So
Skype was trying to tell us that. I think.
Yeah, Skype was like, "Hey guys, stop."
Uh huh.
I will throw out there. We tried to think of some spoiler topics, but there was nothing from Dark of the Moon that really stuck out to us as discussable. It's all either just clips of the movie or synopses of the movie, and that is exactly the kind of thing I'm not that interested in talking about at this point, because the movie is coming out very soon, and we're going to see a clip of it at BotCon in 2 weeks, and we're going to be talking the nuts out of that. So
yeah,
I don't want to blow our wad on stuff we haven't even seen or that is robotless. So I couldn't think of any spoiler topics myself. So that is why we are skipping that. I say myself, I asked these guys too. Yeah. So they're at fault as well. When you come into the thread and say, why didn't you talk about insert thing? I'm not trying to put you guys out in the line of fire here. I'm just kind of trying to mildly shove you at the bus, not under it, like at it. Hope you don't mind.
Very courteous of you.
I think I do. So thank you all for listening. If you'd like to leave us a question on the hotline, which I'm starting to get the impression I'm supposed to look at now. I'm not too sure. That number is area code 318-775-WTF0. That's 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. Something will happen with that right after I finish the Poncho supplemental. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for listening. We love you!
Some badass perpetrators, they're here to stay.